Sure. We get a roll call?
Kurt Olsen.
Here.
Tracy Carlucci.
Here.
Tim Dari. Michael Dressler.
Here.
Michael Francis.
Here.
Robert Holtaway.
Here.
Bruce James.
Here.
James Manucci. Paul Richco.
Here.
Jim Riley.
Here.
Zach Schreier. James Fizioli.
Here.
Robert Walton.
Here.
This has been held in accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act and published with the newspapers of record on schedule.
Thank you. Can we please
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Prior to moving into our regular meeting, I'd like to acknowledge a couple of special guests here today with us, Senator Smith and Assemblyman McHugh. Thank you all for coming. I think Senator Smith would like to say a few words.
Just a happy birthday. The Assemblyman McKeon and myself, back 7 years ago, were lucky enough to be the prime sponsor of the Highland Act legislation. We went through a rather tortuous process to come to the final descriptions of the act, and it's amazing how time flies. You blink your eye and it's 7 years later, and looking back on those 7 years, I wanted to congratulate the Highland Council. You've adopted your master plan. You've done a terrific job at it. Towns in the Highlands region are seeking conformance. Many have already received it, and others are seeking to be part of it. I think you are the model for the United States of America of what a great regional planning agency can be. And the bottom line for the citizens of New Jersey is that you are acting to protect the water supply of 5.5 million people. And I know you're doing this at a tremendous salary. There is no greater gift than you give your community to community service, and I know how hard all of you have worked and the members of preceding you worked to get to this point. And I just wanted to say that your efforts are not unappreciated. We know you take this very seriously, and we know you're going to do your very best to speak to us as the Highland Water Protection Act is carried forward. And I wish you good luck, and I hope to be back in 7 years and wish you a happy 14th anniversary.
Look forward to seeing you.
God bless and have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. Senator Carlucci, would you like to say a
few
words? Anybody or just me?
Hard to hear back
here for me. At this point in time, we'll move on with the regular agenda. Approval of minutes, June 15th. Can I get a motion, please?
I got a motion. Thank you. I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Being none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olsen.
Yes.
Councilmember Carlucci.
Yes.
Councilmember Dougherty. Councilmember Dressler.
I have had a chance to review it, even though I wasn't in the meeting. I hope you have.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Okay.
Councilmember James.
I have had a chance to review it, even though I wasn't at the meeting, and I vote yes.
Councilmember Richco.
Yes.
Councilmember Fizioli.
Yes.
Councilmember Walton.
Yes.
Chairman Riley.
Yes.
Next up, we have approval of the HCC Bank Board Minutes of July 28th.
Chair, if you want me just to go over briefly what occurred at that meeting, because basically what happens here is if you approve those minutes, they could then go to the government's office for the review period, along with the meeting minutes for this meeting. So briefly, and using the slides behind the council members just to let everybody know what happened at that meeting, the Highlands Development Credit Bank had initiated an initial purchase program to acquire Highlands Development Credit from those applicants that were qualified, and to date the Highlands Development Credit Bank has completed three rounds. The first round, 87 Highlands Development Credits, were purchased on 109 acres for a price of $1,392,000. The second round, 54.5 development credits, were purchased on 81 acres for $872,000. The third round, which was just completed, was 203 Highlands development credits on 130 acres to be acquired for $3,248,000. This was the third round was the action of the HDC Bank Board at its last meeting, which was July 28th. Five of the seven applicants were approved under the third round at that meeting. Of the $10 million in initial capital funding, the total offers made to date, approximately $5.5 million for 320 acres. To date, the bank has closed on 174 acres, which permanently preserves those lands. The bank, for that round three that they just approved, had five priority acquisition categories. The first three were from rounds one and two, and then it was expanded for round three to include the priorities numbers four and five. The priorities are as follows. Missed qualifying for exemption number three and have extenuating financial circumstances. Second priority was given to those landowners that suffered from extenuating financial circumstances. Third priority, those that missed qualifying for exemption number three. And then this was expanded for round three of the program to include property owners that qualified for that exemption number three, but the exemption expired. And finally, landowners who had property in ascending area that was located in either a special environmental zone, which is the highest of natural resource value, or high value agricultural priority area, and that property owner had previously offered the property for preservation purposes, but was declined. The bank approved at the meeting and scheduled a fourth round as follows. The allocation applications are due to the Highlands Council by November 3rd of this year. The 8th Highlands Development Credit Certificate applications are due to the bank by December 29th of this year. And then the bank would consider fourth round applications at their meeting of February 2nd next year, 2012. And that would be under the five priority categories that I outlined for you. Also, the bank approved a resolution asking the executive branch and the legislature to examine means of replenishing the Highlands Development Credit Bank's initial capitalization funding with an additional $10 million. The additional funding would enable the bank to continue the acquisition program to ensure the continued protection of critical Highlands natural and agricultural resources, and also to guarantee that landowner equity concerns continue to be addressed by the state through all the mechanisms afforded in the Highlands Act, of which TDR, that program, is one of those. So those were the actions by the board, and their next meeting, which was also part of their scheduling at that meeting, is scheduled to be October 22nd. So that's just to remind you of the actions taken. Jim Riley, our chair, was the only member who was present at that meeting. But you are required to take action on these minutes. Thank you.
Haven't heard that. Can I get a motion on these minutes?
So moved.
I'll second, Chairman, or the motion has a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. This brings us to the chairman's report. I have a few items. First, I'd like to thank Governor Christie for signing legislation today that allocates $167 million for projects in all New Jersey's 21 counties. for protection of islands, Barnegat Bay, urban waterfronts, green acres. So money is being made available and I'm going to cover. I just wanted to quickly say something about our last meeting, my first meeting, or a couple board members' first meeting, in reference to the Hackensack application. I just wanted it to be clear, because I heard conflicting reports out there. The reason I voted against that application at that time was because I did not know enough about the legislation itself, and the original master plan itself, and more importantly, the aspect of the planning area and its impact on the municipality. I have spoken to their mayor, and he understood. As an elected official, I realized there's the municipal resources that we need to try to abide by this plan, and we're certainly due to get the grant money that this board gives them in return. So it was not a punitive action taken at that time. I think it was a lack of convincing quorum and members on the board. I'd like to thank the council members that attended the briefing session last week or 2 weeks ago. It was very well done. Thank you, Mr. Cap, and I'm done. Very well done. And just, I would also like to mention in HDC, I have asked and they have agreed, Bob Saltaway and Rob Walton to sit on the HDC bank board. So at this point in time, I would like to appoint them. I believe it was a 5-year term, which you can confirm that on. I appreciate that. Last but not least, there's some ongoing litigation that this council is involved in reference to Hampton Farm and the borough of Hampton. I recognize that you're stepping aside on this bill. At this time, unless council feels differently, this board has made a decision on moving forward with the grant application for the borough of Hampton. I see no reason to reopen that issue if this has been forward unanimously. So unless there's a compelling argument, I would say we just not reopen this issue. Do you have any questions? Great. Thank you. Great.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to move forward and bring you up to date on where we are, and certainly would like to welcome your newest members, Bruce James from Fayette County and Michael Drexler, Judge from Bergen County.
I apologize.
Yeah. It's been an exciting time with new members, so each meeting new faces. So I want to bring you up to date, first of all, on where we are with the process of plan conformance. Petitions submitted. We have 65 petitions submitted. 5 of those are from counties and 60 from municipalities, remembering that there are 88 municipalities in the region, but about half of the region has to conform mandatorily in the preservation area, and those municipalities that have land in the planning area have the option to conform for those lands. 55 of the 65 petitions have been deemed administratively complete at this point in time, and therefore are posted on our website where members of the public and anybody can look at them under plan conformance, and as they're deemed complete, you can look them up under each municipality's name. Of those municipalities, 25 of them have been approved by the Highlands Council as conforming. Only 2 counties, 23 municipalities, 2 counties. The townships are Bethlehem, Byram, Chester, Denville, Franklin and Warren, Green, Holland, Lopatcong, Smallwalk, Mount Olive, Rockaway, Tewkesbury, Washington and Morris, and West Milford. The boroughs of Bloomsbury, Bloomingdale, Califon, Glengardner, Hampton, Highbridge, Kinlon and Lebanon, town of Clinton, and the 2 counties of Sale and Somerset. Today's meeting brings you 5 applications or petitions before you. They are from Alpha Borough, the town of Hackettstown, Cohackton Township, Oxford Township, and Wharton Borough. If the council approves these 5, that would bring us up to 28 of the 60 municipal petitions, and that is 47% of the total petitions, 55% of those that are complete. So it gives you an idea of where we are in the process. The 60 petitions result in 97% conformance in the preservation area, and that equates to 402,000 nearly acres, and 35% conformance in the voluntary planning area. That's 157,500 acres approximately. Oakland and Randolph have most recently decided to include their planning area in their petition for plan conformance. And this is the trend we're seeing in municipalities that petition for the preservation area and have been changing and asking us to consider their planning area as well. So those are the latest 2 we've seen, Oakland and Randolph. Now, looking forward, so what you can expect in upcoming meetings, the municipal response period, which is what happens after the Highland Council staff do their job, we send out back the reports back to municipalities to consider our comments before it goes to public comments and back to council. Bedminster and Pacific Troy Hill Townships are both in that period. Now, the municipal response period is complete for Hardiston, Lebanon Township, Clarda Township, and Ringwood Borough. So those are municipalities you can look forward to coming soon. This map gives you an idea of where we are in the process. It shows you the 88 municipalities. Originally, we had it, those in the preservation area were colored green, and as they go through the conformance process, they turn blue. Those that are colored yellow are planning areas that have petitions, and as they turn lighter blue, they have conformed. So the lighter blue here is showing planning area lands. These are planning area only municipalities that have already conformed. These are split municipalities, preservation and planning area. And out here, the other green shows municipalities we're still working with. We're working on their petitions, likewise with the yellow. But as a result of today, should all the petitions be approved, the map will change and you will see areas like this, where you see Pohatpong and Alpha. You'll see these areas changing like this as well. Now, remembering that whatever actions are taken today then go through the governance review period, after which we then update our website to show which actions have become effective. An update on our grant program, which goes with these petitions. The Highlands Act allows for the fact that the municipalities would not bear the cost of plan conformance, that there would be grants allocated to them for the reasonable costs associated with the process. Originally, for the petitions to come before the council, the Highlands Council approved a base grant amount of $50,000 for the different steps that are the required elements of plan conformance. But the council also allows for the opportunity, given that each of these municipalities is very unique in their circumstances, that if they gained prior approval from the staff, they could go up to $100,000, and they would have to substantiate the need for that. This shows you how it's working. The base amount for each of the modules is shown in this column. And in this column you see the average. So for 15,000, 72 municipalities have done Module 1 and the average cost was 13,700. Module 2, which was the second part of that build out, the base amount is 10,000. The average amount for 71 municipalities have completed it and been paid out, 6,778. Module 3 is affordable housing planning. So much of that is to do with COA. It is mandatory for all municipalities to meet under the regional master plan to meet their constitutional obligation. So here you see the cost allocated has been $7,500, where the average for 61 municipalities has been $14,439, remembering that you did allow for that additional funding. But it shows you the progress to date. Module 4 is the environmental resource inventory. The base amount is 2,000, the average is 3,128 for 63 municipalities to date. Module 5 is the Highlands Master Plan element, with a base amount of 2,500. The average here has been more, 6,733 for 55 municipalities. Module 6 is the Highlands Land Use Ordinance, base amount of 5,000, average amount of 24,383 for 52 municipalities. Module 7 is the petition itself, which can include things like a center designation request, regional master plan updates, map adjustments, the amount allocated 8,000, the average today 7,226 for 49 municipalities. So the average for the 7 steps, 50,000 being the amount, the base amount, 56,387 being the average. Municipal response costs are for that period in between after they've done the petition. Council responds with the staff, council staff comments, and municipalities have another allowance in order to get their professionals to review those and come back with final comments before we go to public comments and bring the plan performance petition to you. So that gives you a good update of where we are in the plan performance process.
Thank you, Swan. At this point in time, we'll start our public hearing and consideration of resolution. First item up is the Township of Cahokan, Warren County. Ms. Swan.
This public hearing was carried from the June 16th public hearing. The council approved a motion to carry the public portion of the public hearing to this meeting. Given that we have members of the public here and some that were not in attendance at the last meeting, and also two new council members, and to remind the other council members of the petition, we felt it would be beneficial to give you a summary of their petition. Certainly have certain complexities. We thought it would help you in your review today in consideration of the petition. We start, as is customary, with some pictures of Cahokan Township to give you an idea of the type of municipality you are considering today. And moving straight in to show you some of the mapping of it, here you see the region and you see Cahokan's place in the region. We always include that the symbols or whatever, however the town views itself and their view, and so here see this from Cahokan. You see Alfaro here, you see the sense of agricultural land, and the three zones that the Highlands Council uses are existing community, conservation, which is mainly your agricultural land, your open land, and protection zone, which are your real resource lands, for example, forested land. This is showing you transparency with, so you can see underneath, you can see the open lands, for example. Here, this is a very developed footprint. We show it to you a little more clearly. This is the conservation zone. These are protected areas. You can see wildlife management areas. Up here in this yellow is what we term the existing community zone. It's where a certain level of development has occurred, and usually supported by infrastructure such as water and wastewater. We thought this map was important in terms of considering the petition, in particular their request for center designation. The center will be up in this area of the municipality. You see that there is infrastructure up here. This denotes both sewer and public water. You see it here. So it's important when you're considering center, remembering the Highlands Act said that you would consider development in or adjacent to areas already used for that purpose. At the same time, you can see that there are many lands that are agricultural lands here and forested lands. So this brings you to the part of their petition request, which is a center request. Here, is this map here is showing you, outlined in red, the area that would be considered for their center. And it's mostly a developed area north of Alfaro, between Route 122 and 22, and the partially developed area east of Alfaro. And this is important in context as we look at things from a regional perspective, and when we move on to petition for Alfa, you will see that their center will dovetail nicely with Cahokan. It's also north of Route 78, consists of densely developed residential retail areas and the partially developed industrial zone area. The petition also includes a request for a map adjustment for blocks 93, lots 4 and 5 of 170 acres. It's known as the EAI site or Hampton at Cahokan. The project is in the Township's Affordable Housing Zoning District and was the product of prior round affordable housing litigation. It is in the Township's approved housing elements and fair share plan, which is presently under the court's jurisdiction. the Highlands Council reviewed this September 23rd of 2008 because we were asked to do a consistency review for a wastewater management plan. It's a requirement under the Department of Environmental Protection rules. And the council's finding was that there were numerous inconsistencies with the application. The site is in the conservation zone and an environmentally constrained subzone of that area. It's currently leased with mostly row crop corn production. This next slide shows you the site in question. Here it is, so you can see the area. And the next slide shows you the initial application, which was the subject of that review by the council, September 2008. The development allows for 401 single family lots, two apartment buildings, which contained 44 low and moderate income units, affordable units, and one lot for future retail use. It would have resulted in 81% developed land, 19% undeveloped land, and that's mainly here around the upper area for this stream here. And it would have generated 152,550 gallons per day of wastewater. And the Highlands Council deemed it to be inconsistent with the regional master plan, and we're now looking at the revised plan, and this is part of a map adjustment for this site, it's part of what you're considering today. The revised plan shows you here 242 units, and it includes 44 low and moderate income apartments, 122 single family rooms, family homes, 76 townhomes. The developed areas are here and just down here. It's limited site disturbance, 26% developed land, 74% undeveloped land. On April 15th of last year, the council looked at this as a conceptual application, and conceptually the council endorsed the map adjustment with a 125-acre deed restriction, which would have been all of this area here. Now, this was a matter that was discussed at the last council meeting, so we do want to provide some clarification on that. The consistency report that has been is our recommendation to the Highlands Council's consideration today clarifies that this is not a cluster development under the regional master plan, which would have required 80% land in protection under either open space or agricultural leave restriction. This is a map adjustment request, so we want to clarify that. In this case, as a map adjustment, there would be a deed restriction going with the property, which would allow for non-permanent development of wind, solar, or photovoltaic energy facilities, and would also allow then for future use of the land only for agricultural open space purposes. Those interim uses are not considered agricultural uses. We want to be very clear on that. We have worked with Pohatcom, and they have, and this was a straight through the last meeting, they have enacted an ordinance to govern these kind of solar projects. And that is the map adjustment that is being sought for these lands, such that the project could move forward in this manner. A look back at the petition itself, this just lays forth the timing of it. I won't go through all of this, but it shows that the timing from the petition submission through to the public comment period and to the hearing that was last month and carried to this month. Public comments were received, and we did go over these at the last meeting, but they were received from Carl Biscayne on behalf of Regency at Pohatcom, another development, or proposed development, I should say. Erica Van Alten from the New Jersey Highlands Coalition, Helen Heinrich on behalf of New Jersey Farm Bureau, and Laura Altman and Michael Newman, Eco Action Initiative of Warren County. In the case of all of these petitions that you're hearing today, a very detailed comment response document has been done up by the council staff in response to the comments received and has been posted on the website. In each of these cases, if there are any issues that are unresolved or we have concerns about, we will bring them to your attention. In this case, we believe that the council staff has responded to all of the comments, and our recommendation is as set forth in the in our report to you. This is a quick deal. We did this
In part, there was a suggestion by Council Member Kirsch also to make it sort of a visual representation of the process. This shows you the petition requirements, modules 1 through 7, shows you that the municipality have worked with the Highlands Council in order to do all of these modules and make sure that they're consistent with the regional master plan. And we bring to your attention in each of these petitions specific issues. In the case of Pohatcom, there is a request for Highlands Centre that I just went through. And there were requests for regional master plan updates, which are corrections to in factual information, which the council staff have the authority to work on. And once we receive those corrections, we correct whatever layer of mapping is necessary to understand that this is factual verification. Map adjustments were also requested, and a redevelopment area. Now, the map adjustment, I did tell you about the one that is still before you today. The redevelopment area has been incorporated into the Highlands Centre, and we also want to let you know that a specific issue, there is a TDR evaluation that the municipality wants to undertake. It's an intermunicipal TDR to move from the agricultural area to go outside of the centre and take that increased density into the centre. The recommendation from the staff to the council is to approve the petition. And we're here listing the major conditions. And these are typical for all of these because we're at a point where if you move this forward, you need to take the further action. For example, the adoption of planning area ordinance, checklist ordinance, the completed ERI, the map adjustment requirements that we just spoke about, in this case, an agricultural retention plan, a stream corridor protection restoration plan, the Highlands Redevelopment Area Planning Sustainable Economic Development Plan. Every municipality is required to award a Water Use Conservation Management Plan. So that's sort of a summary view of the petitions that you did look at last month and were carried forward into this month.
Members have any comments?
Just one real quick. What's the cost of performing the study for TDR stadium summit?
Generally speaking, we have a two-part grant that we give for TDR. The first part is the feasibility analysis, and it's $25,000. But when we do these municipalities through the process of plan conformance, in the implementation plan and schedule that we send to the Highlands Council and post on the website, there is a listing of all the grants for each municipality. Today for Pohatcom, there is for the centre designation planning, there's $15,000. And for the completion of Module 5, which is the Highlands Master Plan element, there's $65,000. Now the TDR will be done under those elements. In certain cases, there's a specific TDR grant. You'll actually see one of those coming for you today. In others, where it's part of the plan conformance petition, we put it in and it'll be under the scope of work for some of those other elements.
My concern for council members is the last meeting, it was brought up about having municipalities become TDR proceedings, which would certainly make the TDR program work a little better. Unfortunately, within the Act, it says only the municipality does not have to do that. And my concern is that if people are going to start signing on to do TDR studies, we're just spending money on things that people don't want.
In the case of Pohatcom, the municipality came in with this request because they want to use it intermunicipal to work with their agricultural lands in protecting those through the use of TDR, and they are looking for that increased development in the centre area. In terms of the grant, we've always made sure it's phased in such a way that the first step we always look at is there the infrastructure there to support the TDR? So the study is going to be a value for the municipality anyway, because they will know what capacity they have for that new development for the centre. Should there not be sufficient capacity for increased density, they don't move to the second phase of TDR, which is where you do your market analysis and those types of studies. So we do it in such a way that it's phased in so that the first phase is a valuable planning exercise
for the municipality.
Any comments, board members?
Yeah, on the TDR, the court set one of my pets also, and it is a key to the success of legislation. Personally, I think it's pretty smart for a municipality to look at an intramunicipal TDR plan if it's feasible, because it's a net zero. And I think one of the spirit that many municipalities have is increased development that comes from somewhere else. And so if you're a municipality and you look at and you're looking at a plan for the growth of your community, if you take development from one part of your community and put it somewhere else, that's still a net zero. It's not coming from some foreign place or someplace of a source. And I think that's part of the white knuckle part of the TDR as viewed by many municipalities as they move forward with conformance. They don't want someone else's development. But I believe, again, that it's very smart to look at your own and just displace it in your community as you see fit. Yeah. I think that's what.
And that's fair. I have no problem with that being brought to municipality. And the fact is, the act does not mandate or force for municipality to do so.
Sure, but this council, I believe, is charged with making sure that we when we look at plans, that they are good plans. And so, if it's missing an element, this is not a good plan.
Any other comments?
Mr. Freddie, the Ring Avenue area, the restricted conservation, what percentage of the area would be dedicated?
The planner from the municipality is here, Paul Dees, but my understanding is it's 80% of the open lands, and he's nodding at them. So that is, it's 80% of those open lands. There are certain buffers.
Is there any other precedent in New Jersey where there's a deed restricted open space that is allowed up to 80% of all green energy development?
I guess the most important point is it's not deed restriction now, that the deed restriction is a condition of the map adjustment itself. So it's not as if you're taking existing green acres open space and allowing solar on it. It's a deed restriction as a condition of the map adjustment.
You know, my concern, I think call it what it is, I don't think the solar field is open space. It's an energy field, and I think that we're spreading out the dangerous ground, if we're going to fall into the danger critical of the state, then allow 80% development of the energy. Restrictions on reserve farms, restrictions on unreserved farms for the amount of energy development that can occur on these tracts. And here we have something that supposedly could be becoming a conservation zone, and essentially we're allowing it to be another form of development, state ball is green development, but it's development nonetheless. And I think that my concern isn't so much the construction of the solar as much as calling it what it really is. And I think that if it's going to be solar development, then let's say solar development, I don't think we should be calling it restricted open space, because it's not open. You can't run a plow underneath those solar panels.
And in this case, Kurt, we're not calling it deed restriction for open space, and that's why I wanted to clarify, because you did bring this to our attention. What we're saying is it would be deed restricted, and it would allow non-permanent development of wind, solar, and photovoltaic, and after those non-permanent uses expired, it could only then be used for open space or agriculture. So the deed restriction is for all of those elements, and we're not calling it open space or agricultural conservation deed, we're calling it a deed restriction for those purposes only. And just to remind everybody, this is an application that precedes the Highlands, and we went through a lot of work to get the development to where it is, and where you can see it on the slide now, from that, from the prior, that was the prior, this is where we are today. And what happened was the developer is looking for some beneficial use of this land to afford the level of development on the site. And so that is the opportunity to have this move forward. And in the town's petition for conformance, they're asking you for a map adjustment such that they can do this. And they have their own ordinance now for solar, which this is consistent with.
So it's their request that we move this forward.
How is the solar treated from a property tax standpoint? Is it a personal property, so there's no tax on it?
I'm sorry, neither of them. And from the town, Mark Metzger is here. He is the land use board chairman. Paul Beast, the planner, is here. And I'm not sure if the mayor is here. The mayor who was here at the last, they had a change of mayor since their last meeting. And Mayor Vadinsky, who was at the last meeting, did call me and say that he regretted not being able to be in attendance today. Had hoped, of course, to get the approval of the last meeting and was hoping that it would come forward
now
today.
Like
I wrote the after the first floor tax assessor, who is not here today. My understanding is in the last 6 months, the Lake Schroeder or Silver treated from a tax perspective on a property tax basis has changed dramatically with increased legislation. My understanding at this point right now is that tax, like an industrial application or anything like that. It's pretty much tax neutral as far as the concern. We're not generating any additional taxes. Our interest in this is that we are under court order on this project. This project has been in the court for 15 plus years. There was posts of this stuff that the 3 acres other sources. There's no money for any of that. The developer has worked on trying to come up with a smaller project, something we can certainly support. They have the space here that they need to be compensated somehow in order to make it affordable. Right now they're hoping solar is a way to make that happen. We're trying to make this, put this project to bed. The developer gets what they want. The township gets obviously a reduced housing impact, less stress on services, less stress on sewer, and everything else. We get out from the court order, and we get to go on about and rip our lives to pieces. Being held hostage by the courts for the next 15 years.
Thank you.
I can give some sense of why I'm sure we just had that conversation today with Frank and our tax assessor. A commercial solar enterprise could be taxed with a property tax, even borough property or school property, if it's leased to a private enterprise that generates money from it, it could become taxable. It's still a gray area with the state.
Thank you. Does
that answer your question, Mr. Officer? Any other council questions? Will the solar array be subject to best management practices under stormwater regulation?
I looked again on that question earlier. Paul, do you have an answer to that? Paul is the planner for the municipality.
We're going to be subject to the local ordinance. We're going to be subject to my understanding that not considered impervious coverage.
Under the law, that's true. It changed. There, the only the
land law, but not considered impervious. Any other footings for transition of the majority of the development on the site are either in bins or in loggers or something like that. So they don't really disturb the soil. They follow the contours. But not that it is that they fall on undisturbed land. Kind of looking to ensure that the metal mix beneath the entire facility, no hardscaping, you know, required. There may be a couple of footings for transmission, but that's about it. So the impact is probably less than a quarter acre. They'd probably be able to get under and not be subject to soil conservation services or the kind of requirements.
You will review it under your municipal stormwater ordinance?
It will be reviewed by the land use board if there's any other kind of such as design requirements, buffering, zoning, stormwater, geotechnical, everything else there. So we require that network.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, now we'll reopen the public portion at this time. Does anybody in the public wish to be heard on this application? Please raise your hand. Please step up.
Heinrich, representing the Fujian Farm Bureau. This application is the first of three that we commented on. I'll be explaining more to you our concerns as the day goes on. But there's a section in the land use ordinance where I don't believe staff has answered our concerns, where the town is apparently encouraged to continue to prohibit riding academies when a private farm gives farmers the ability to do a number of different kinds of operations as long as they are in accordance with state and federal regulations and management practices and are being a commercial farm. This is really ironic because recently the permit assessment has changed to permit to broaden what equine farmers can do in the permit assessment. And in what has come definitions in the land use ordinance, there's no definition of riding academies. And I do believe, I understand that this will come up when they're doing their ag retention plan, which we're very glad to see you're giving them some money to do. But we feel it's misleading to, on the one hand, say we're going to do a plan and we have to, we can't contradict the Practice Farm Act, and on the other hand, say that they can go ahead with this kind of prohibition that is clearly not in accordance with the Practice Farm Act and probably not good for the future of agriculture in the town. So we're sort of waiting an answer on that. And we'll hear a little more about that in a couple of other applications. I think the solution is for us to get together and see if we can't resolve at least the conflict between suggesting town things like this and then saying, you know, we've got to watch out for that.
Monique has her hand up in the Department of Ag, but I want to let the Council know that Life Farm Act is supported through the Regional Master Plan and through the performance activities, and the Ag Retention Plan will be done in coordination with the Department of Agriculture, who we work with every step of the way to encourage Ag Retention, but if the Chair will allow me.
Good afternoon. Monique Rochelle, Department of Agriculture. Just wanted to support this petition for the HACCOM. I do understand about the nature of this particular section and what needs to be done to change the project from being something that was very different prior to what it is now. I also support the idea of a feasibility grant for the intermunicipal TDR to help preserve the equity of the farmland outside of the center. And I also wanted to support Mr. Francis, and that's my understanding as well. We're also involved with the farmland assessment discussion around how solar on farms in the land under that can continue to qualify for farmland assessment, but it has to meet pretty specific criteria. It's limited in land area. It needs to be for at least in part for the farm usage and so forth. So there are criteria, and it's also my understanding it is a gray area about how commercial solar that's beyond 10 acres will be taxed, but I'm sure they will be. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public want to share? Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Martin Resnick. I'm involved with the second phase, I guess, would be called Regency. There's a separate application that was made. I don't know, I don't know how complete the application is. Our attorney was here last meeting and talked about this, and the reason I've come forward is there was a statement made by a member of the town planning board saying that there was no sewage for the project called Regency. Let me give you a brief history of it. Regency is the settlement of approximately four or five lawsuits. The settlement was signed by several people, myself being one of them, Hull Brothers being involved with it, and Jack Overly, another landowner in the town. The town agreed that we could build a project right next to the Hampton project that you're looking at now. The town agreed to supply sewage. Right now we have written commitment for 62,700 gallons of sewage. At the last meeting we had, there was a statement made by a planning board member who say there is no sewage, never was, and never will be. Well, that's not true. I have written commitments from the town attorney. I also have commitments from the town of Alpha, contract for 34,500 gallons that was signed in year 2000, and agreed to move to, for a different location, and agreed to be moved to this property. The background is that there was approximately 260 acres involved in the transaction. The town agreed and settled upon us building on 84 acres, which is the next property over from the Hampton. The
application?
Yes. I am agreeing that I'm supporting both Regency part of it and the Hampton part. As far as our situation, we did this prior to Highlands being in existence. The agreement with the town was the settlement, as I said, four or five lawsuits were involved. There were court orders in our case. Again, the town had to reply to them. The settlement was that we would build on what comes out to be 21% of our altogether joint property. The rest of the land, 84 acres we built on, the rest of it to be preserved for farmland and other uses. I'd like to say that another thing to take into consideration is that the town is 80% on limestone. My project, the town has $5 million of work done before the planning board, and it's passed every test the planning board has had. There's been approximately 100 borings on the property. The property being on limestone does not contribute nor take away from the aquifer. So that should be taken into consideration. And I'd like to pretty much settle that. Say that, and that's pretty much where I'm at. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public for speaker?
Elliot Rubin, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. And Mr. Chairman, I would just like to suggest that there are a lot of members of the public who came out today to give general comments about the Highlands Council. And if you would consider that perhaps after you're finished with Pohatcom, that you make time for some general comments so that you don't hold them until what looks to be a very long agenda.
Anybody else in the public who's here on this application? Yes. My name is David Shope. I own land in the preservation area, Lebanon Township. For the record, I've asked Assemblyman McKeon and Senator Smith to stay here with the public had to say. I guess Assemblyman McKeon is hard of hearing because he ignored me. And Smith was, of course, just simply too busy. And on this application, as well as all others, that require a water conservation plan, the Highlands Act requires a water conservation plan, too. On page 8 of it, under or the 13:20-6U, to promote in conjunction with the Department of Environmental Protection and the Department of Agriculture, conservation of water resources both in the Highlands region and areas outside of the Highlands region for which Highlands is a source of drinking water. Well, that's what the Act says, and what we have here is a hypocritical enforcement of the Act. And I will leave you with some pictures.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can
past the
building. That's what I'll do. First, I want to identify it as Highlands Water, Highlands Water, Highlands Water spewing out all of the streets of the cities. And of course, it doesn't stop there. After it cools the kitties who open the hydrants, it serves to wash the garbage off their streets and into the nearest body of water. This is why we are conserving water up here in the Highlands, so that others can squander it. This is, and I would hope that Senator Smith and McKeon get accurate copies of what I've just said. I support this application. I think the requirement of a water conservation plan in light of what's going on in the rest of the state is hypocritical. However, I support this application.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this application? Gentlemen, please. Thank you.
Jerry Kern, on council. I didn't approach for my property in, for utility scale coal. At least I think it's utility scale, it's 10 acres or less. You said someone said something about 10 acres or more, but I believe it's 10 acres. I presently have a ditch that's in the property. I'm not sure if that's open waters or not. But my argument was that it's presently being farmed, agriculture, corn. Within 2 feet of the ditch, every year it's fertilized, every year it's pesticides put on. This outfit that's approached me wants to need to sign a lease between 20 and 25 years. I think they were looking for like a 75-foot setback to make it feasible. Due to the acreage, the size of the project, it needs to cover its cost. Renewable energy, I don't know how anyone could be against that. Seen a lot of things here that's hard to believe. I guess my question is, I can disturb this every year and do all this, or we could put it in renewable energy, so it would stay away from it 75 feet. Why would this not be a better practice? And is there anything that the council can do to change this or propose some other angle to make this happen, besides the fact that
This is the pending application this client say, but we'd be happy to look at any piece of land and find
it. Right.
Okay. Right. I've been here 3 weeks ago, no one returned my call. I actually spoke with someone here. So I figured this would be a good spot to start.
I apologize if there's any oversight, but we have a policy here of returning all calls promptly.
Okay.
I do apologize if there's any oversight.
There was oversight. My other comment is, as far as Kohaktan opting in, I'm not a big fan of that. Presently, we don't have enough buildable acres as it is to sustain economics in Kohaktan. Our taxes are the third highest in Warren County. We have had, I've been living here for 27 years, we have had no development. When you go to the meetings, which I frequent, land use and council, is all they say is how if we don't build anything, our taxes will be low, we don't need schools. Well, it's the complete opposite. So anyone telling you that myth, they're wrong. It's how it's done. If Toll Brothers comes in and builds $300,000 homes, or if you have $16 million homes, it's a win, but people like to throw it all in the Toll Brothers hat. Passing this, I know they're trying to get more area there, but Kohaktan was never in the Highlands. We were added last minute using the scientific boundary of 78 as a boundary. I suppose there's a lot of science used there. They took all our development property, the industrial park of Kohaktan, and put it south, which is south of 78. So economically, Kohaktan is starving for business. They're very against business in Kohaktan. So
you're against the application?
I'm against the application in most cases. I'm for preservation, unfortunately, I'm not for the Highlands. Apparently, Mr. Smith, I guess he's gone. And a lot of past council members and a lot of present unfortunately had a very poor upbringing. They didn't learn 101. I'd like to finish there. That they didn't learn not to take from others. Very simple rule. I was taught very young. Hopefully the new members here today have been brought up a little better. Thank you.
Anybody up the phone for Spear? Gentlemen up front. Yes, this chair, can you slide the mic over?
Oh, okay.
The other chair.
Right over here. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Harold Danielson. I'm a property owner in the borough of Hampton. And in regard to the solar photovoltaic systems, they're one and the same. Another thing is the wind generation. The United States Department of Climatology and others have definite wind patterns that they are made available in databases. For New Jersey, the only viable area for wind generation is along our coasts. And for a wind generator, the sustained speeds must be at least 10 miles per hour or greater. 10 miles an hour is basically the bottom line. I did look into this. I looked into many manufacturers of wind generators in that. And determined that in our areas up here, it is totally unfeasible unless you go to some good thermal updrafts and everything, like you have a long haul fountain. That would be an excellent site for you. Another area is the fact that the solar energy panels, the way they're set up now, they're really not that efficient. They're basically under 10% efficiency. There was a new one just announced that jumps the mark up to about 17%, which is a thin film. And then there's a photovoltaic, which is supposed to be coming on. They haven't reached the mark. But what I'm also going to say about these is their lifespan is only 20 years on these. Just about enough time to pay them off. Another area that I had questions about was the species that were listed in this application. Now, the species that were listed, I ran the databases on a couple of the species and with Bohacon and found no reference to them at all. Then I also noticed the fact that a lot of this information was gleaned from the landscape studies. Now, in the landscape studies, it says, well, an animal might not live here, but he might like to live here. That doesn't mean that they're there. And I don't see any scientific studies at all facing up any one of these animals or birds that support the data that was given for Pohatcon. That does not mean to say that I'm not in favor of Pohatcon going ahead, but I would just like to see more definitive studies before anything is voted upon, and not just a knee-jerk reaction and facts put on the paper that have no substantiation.
Hi, my name is Laura Oldman, and I live in Pohatcon Township, and I also help manage a site on Oldley Road that's well known for threatened and endangered grassland bird species, and which are very well documented, and I wanted to respond to the comment that there are no species on this site. There actually was a public hearing in December of 2009 or 2010, I can't remember the year, but it was CET held it on the EAI development, and I had hired by a nonprofit conservation organization, an expert to look at the EAI site, and he, for the second time, surveyed the site. He had also surveyed it for the township several years ago and did, in fact, find state-listed threatened and endangered bird species on the site using the site. He reported to DEP, and I can't tell you why they never seem to end up in the landscape map. The data, it sits in the files for years, but it has been put on the record that threatened and endangered bird species do actually use that site. I support the Hackon petition, and I understand the situation that they're in with the litigation over the site. If they have to put solar panels on it in order to finally come to some resolution, I can't say that I want to not support their petition over that. I think it's reasonable, but I don't think it's fair to say that there are no bird species on the site or that there's no reason for some of the things that were done there. Thank you.
Anybody else who wants to hear on this application? I want to make a motion.
We already have a pending motion and a second, so we're in a public comment.
Any further comments from council members? Okay, none. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Olmsted?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzman?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richfield?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. The application approved.
Just an opportunity for the chair to give a certificate to the remark next of the planning board. Also, I'd like to acknowledge Chris Dallas of Arscott, who was the liaison who worked with the municipality to get this project to this stage. Thank you, Chris.
Anniversary of the signing of the Highlands Act, which was sponsored by Senator Smith and Assembly and Sheehan. And this was a tremendous achievement, a tremendous landmark victory. We feel it was one of the most important pieces of environmental and conservation legislation in decades. The achievement caps over 15 years of intense effort by Highlands residents, citizens groups, and all levels of government. There were many studies in 1992 and 2002. The Forest Service did studies. Regional Plan Association in 1996 did a Green Floor campaign that included the Highlands. New Jersey's 2001 state plan designated the region as a Highlands Special Resource Area. And behind all of these efforts were grassroots and local citizen efforts.
Mr. Chairman, can we just provide that with exactly the respectful feedback?
Gentlemen in the back, we can hear you all the way up here. I can't hear the people.
Thank you.
There were many local plans, there were water studies, there were also land preservation efforts fueled, which fueled momentum for a regional solution to protect the Highlands water supply, its land and natural resources from inappropriate development. And this really started in the mid-80s. 1988, the Highlands Coalition was formed, and 1990 when I became involved with this effort. And I really would like to have some of the other people who have come to this meeting to celebrate this historic occasion say a couple words. Thank you very much.
Anybody else? Move forward.
As my usually not shy or lost for words colleagues gather their thoughts, I'd like to say that 30 plus years of regional planning in the Highlands has shown us the benefits of regional planning to protect sensitive natural areas while guiding growth and development. Property taxes are lower while property values are higher in the Highlands than in the communities just outside of the Highlands. Developers who want nothing more than predictability know what can be developed and where. And in the process, 17 trillion gallons of clean water has been protected in the Highlands. What works in the Highlands is working in the Highlands. Unless the Highlands Council is stopped in its mission, the water supply for more than half of New Jersey's residents and its largest job-providing industries will be protected. The Highlands Regional Master Plan is the most forward-thinking planning tool this state has ever produced. To date, 23 of the 88 Highlands municipalities have modified their master plans and land use ordinances in order to be consistent with the Highlands plan. And all but a small handful of the remaining towns are working with the Highlands Council today to achieve this consistency. If we don't preserve the Highlands, according to the state's own research, it would cost an additional $50 billion to treat the water that the Highlands watershed currently provides for free and natural. It's the world's largest Brita water filter that never needs replacement. So I want to thank you for what you've done so far, and I hope you are able to keep up your good work. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Bill Kibler. I'm the executive director of the South Branch Watershed Association. Somebody pointed the finger at me and told me to talk. It's actually a pleasure for me to be in front of a lot of new faces today. So I see some familiar faces and some new ones. If nothing else, it's a great opportunity for me to introduce myself to the council and to the new members. I wanted to briefly read a paragraph that I sent in a letter to some of the members of the South Branch Watershed Association. By way of background, for those who may not be familiar, South Branch of the Raritan River starts in Mount Olive and is part of the headwaters for the Raritan River. It's home to two of the three largest drinking water reservoirs in the state, Round Valley and Spruce Run. And the majority of my watershed is in the Highlands. I live in the Highlands, I live in Califon and in the preservation area. There have been a lot of arguments for and against the Act, for and against the Council, for and against the Regional Master Plan over the years. One consistent complaint I've heard many times that I did want to address with the Council today is that the Act places an unfair burden on those who live in the Highlands. The Act depresses property values, limits what we can do with our property, and impacts our lifestyle. No doubt, the Highlands Act places a burden on those of us who live in the Highlands. The Highlands and its precious water supply are vital to the economy and livability of our state. It's also true that many other New Jerseyans bear a disproportionate load for the rest of us. People in Elizabeth living near the port facilities, folks in Newark living in the flyway to the airport, people living in the shadow of the parkway, the turnpike, the interstate highways, or the rail lines all see depressed property values and impacts on their lifestyle because their community supports a critical part of the infrastructure of our state. We all need the airport, whether for our own transportation, our businesses, or our FedEx and postal shipments. We commute on those roads or rely on them for transportation of the food we eat and the goods we buy. our ability to buy and sell goods here would come to a halt without the Port of Elizabeth. Certainly, the Highlands Act comes at a cost, but the cost of not acting is beyond measure, and the benefits of the Act are also significant. The burden of protecting New Jersey's future by safeguarding its drinking water is a burden that should be shared, but not one that should be shared. And I appreciate all the effort that the council puts into this. We look forward to working with you and the future, and I'm sure you've already discovered what a wonderful staff you have. So we look forward to more success from them. Thank you.
Thank you. At this point in time, I respect the senator, I want to give the coalition members an opportunity to make some comments on the positive side of recognizing the 70th year anniversary. The last speaker actually started this thing, and if we're going to continue down that road, that would be for the public session. So at this point in time, I'm going to go back to the regular agenda, and we'll hear how you go.
Before we move into the petition from Hackettstown, we have a resolution for your consideration for a transfer development rights feasibility grant for the town. After the last council meeting, I did have conversations with the mayor of Hackettstown, and he is interested in doing a study for commercial receiving area within the proposed centre. So the proposed resolution would authorize an agreement with the town of Hackettstown for that TDR receiving zone feasibility grant. It would allow for establishing voluntary receiving zones in the for commercial or retail in the centre, and the amount of the grant is for $25,000. That's the resolution.
Is the municipality doing this out of the base here is, where you get their plan from? Certain-wise, it doesn't have to be asked. I did speak to the mayor, and as long as it was strictly to the, looking into the non-residential aspect of it, he didn't mind going forward with it. Fundamentally, I don't have a problem going forward with it. I'm concerned that this becomes our operation of trying to squeeze people to force them to take TDRs, only place performance, up if they don't. So that's my concern. Any other comments?
Yeah, I do have a concern. I'm concerned with the cost of the increase in general, the cost of the entire group of people into building this personal wall. You've got people out of work, you've got economy in a mess. We're handing out these grants like the candy. For $25,000 to study whether or not you can finish out because they're in Hackettstown, I can't fathom why it would cost that much to determine whether or not they can receive more commercial rent or retail development in the municipality. I'm sure that they are, believe they're doing the right thing and trying to be concerned. We've already shared with us for a long time. I can't be spending that kind of money on a grant that may not achieve any real result. I'm also concerned they're not considering taking on some residential stuff as part of this study. They have two huge employers in the college and in the Mars plant. You've got a train station, as Mr. Alston said, if not Hackettstown, where? So I'll be voting now.
For the TDR.
That's the only resolution I'll consider at the moment.
If I may ask, what does Hackettstown Consultants be a regional center? What specific benefits do they accrue by getting that designation? What's made on them?
What the Highlands Act requires is we look at both sides of the equation, so to speak. It required a resource assessment, and then it required that we do an analysis to see what was the development capacity that could occur throughout the region while protecting the resources. And it also talked about the smart growth assessment that we had to do in terms of existing infrastructure and talked about where development should go. So part of the mission of the Highlands Council is to look at areas such as Hackettstown where there is existing infrastructure to support redevelopment, in this case mostly and potential new or infill development. In order to do this, because it becomes part of plan conformance, we have to pay for the reasonable costs associated with that. So the municipality does get grants to look at sustainable economic development, for example. So this, again, in your package, you've got a series of grants that the town would get to look at centre designation. But really what it does is it allows them, under the mission of the Highlands Act, to determine what is the capacity they can take in and what's sustainable in their municipality. So we give them grants, we also give them technical assistance, we work very closely with them, as we have done in the past, to make sure. And part of all of this is, and we did talk about this at the last meeting, the work that, because Pakistan has done a lot of work already in terms of finding affordable housing near where these work areas are, near the medical center, and they have a train station. So they have great opportunities to take some of that growth and place it within their municipality. And it's consistent with their goals as well. So what are we offering? We're offering them the grants, which is consistent with the Highland Act. And that's what you have those grants to do.
So the only thing that comes to them is you're being designated a regional center of grants.
There's also state agency coordination, which we do with all our municipalities. It's similar to the approach under the state plan of centre designation, because once a municipality has done all of that comprehensive planning, it should get the benefits that are afforded to municipalities being recognised as a centre, such that we would work with, for example, the Department of Transportation, who, by the way, did send down a letter today supporting the petitions that are before you, and they did for the last meeting as well. So we would work with them. We work with the Department of Environmental Protection as well to see if we can facilitate the process for planning. We also will do the wastewater management plan for the municipality. These are all seen as benefits by the town. So it's the funding, the technical assistance, and the state agency coordination. We've also reached out to the Economic Development Authority. We've made them aware of these grants and the work we're doing, and have asked that they also, they had intended to come before the council, but because we're new members, we decided to put it off till about the fall. But they wanted to come and talk about what programs they can offer. We didn't want to duplicate costs in terms of their services being duplicated, so they were going to come in and also businesses in the area about lending. So that's the kind of support that comes to working with a state agency to get this kind of recognition.
Mr.
Chairman.
Yes. And isn't it true that then this data that's generated by this analysis is used by TIM in order to be able to plan for how to develop a center? I mean, the center is big, and there's a lot of aspects of the center that are already there, and whether or not those can be expanded, where they can be expanded, where's the best place to handle traffic, yeah, how is traffic going to be handled, where you put more concentrated growth at, and where do you put more open areas, such as pocket parks and that sort of thing. That's all part of this analysis, isn't it?
It absolutely is, and to that end, they've done great work at looking at greenway opportunities along the river there, and they've already got these easements from certain properties that they've already approved. They want to continue that kind of work as well. So all of that comes into these studies, and the money that would go into the feasibility study for the potential of TDR, because you only look at in the first stage at infrastructure to support additional development, whatever the results are of that, whether or not TDR becomes part of the future of that municipality, that planning is used in terms of what development can occur. So if they can take on the extra capacity, that's what the feasibility study tells them, but it then allows them to use the results of that to determine what development, redevelopment they can do.
I think we have the deputy chair here.
Colleen, do you speak on
I mentioned the mayor earlier. I figured you probably have better knowledge than I. Are you supporting me?
Absolutely, we are supporting. I thank you, everyone on the council, for considering this resolution. If you do, as Ms. Juan has reported, there are many, many advantages of this resolution being passed for Hackensack. We do want to, we are trying to conform that became with Highland. There are pros and cons. This one has actually come to one of our council meetings in the past, and we're open to listening to what the council has to say. The thing that I would ask of everyone here is that you do take careful consideration of what we're asking. We're trying to meet and do what we can, and we're asking you to do what you can as the council. Again,
it's relevant in relationship to the TDR program. The township is supportive of that at this time.
Yes, we are.
It's only for
commercial retail at this time, yes. If you are familiar with Hackettstown, we are, excuse the phrase, but we are built out to a large degree. So we are thinking commercial retail, yes.
Any other comments from council members? There's not a whole lot of brownfield in Hackettstown. You got Hillsburg and Cool, and not a whole lot else. It was pretty much, it was a farm support town. There wasn't a lot of industry. You don't have a river that's going through it. You don't have mills or anything. It's a town that was supported agriculture and rail brought in and out of supply, and that's it.
Through the chair. Actually, agricultural lands oftentimes are brownfields because of the pesticides that are used on those lands. So don't think it's because the farmland is pristine because it's not. And the whole point of farm growth is not creating housing, but to redevelop in areas housing that already exists with infrastructure. So when you just expand housing without infrastructure, it doesn't make any sense either. I think this is a smart move on Hackettstown's part. I've been to Hackettstown many times. I live in Clifton. I'll drive up to your town to hang out and actually go out to eat. It's a lovely area. I think this is a real strong request for very smart growth, and we should be supporting it.
Any other comments? Any other motion?
I'm
going to
go home and protect my children from the ground field.
You should. Actually, a higher income would
help. Second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Sorry, a moment. Sorry.
At this point in time, we'll open the public portion for the TDR aspect of Hackettstown application also. If you'd like to speak, please raise your hand.
Hi, and I'd like to thank the new members for actually serving on the council. My name is Sylvia Kovacs. I'm a resident of Independence Township, and I'll discuss the plan conformance when we get to that. I'll comment on that as well. Right now, with regards to the TDR, I just want to really respond to what Curtis. Over the time of Bergen Tool last year, Hackettstown Township Committee, as well as the Planning Board, did actually go through a process to rezone the Bergen Tool. So that 10-acre parcel with some open space is zoned for mixed use, with plenty of residential already having been approved for that. There's another one down in towards Mansfield as you actually get down by 57 going over to the Muskie, is another one that's already been pre-approved for residential developments, and we already have, I think, another 128 units going and approved for landscape. If you actually turn around down on 57 and you actually start heading down towards Washington Township, right by the Citgo station, you also have Ventastina. I'm not sure if that's 228 units. So there's plenty of housing that's approved and being built, so that's really going to be less of an issue. So from a TDR perspective, I'd really like to go back to what you actually might be able to take from a TDR feasibility study is exactly that, using this as a regional center designation, seeing how you actually do that, see if you actually have the infrastructure with regards to at least water and wastewater, because the wastewater actually is, the wastewater plant is actually in the preservation area. We're not real sure how much you can actually expand within that context, but if you actually look at what kind of economic development we're actually going to be looking at with regards to commercial, I fully support your concerns about what we've had in the past with regards to agricultural and a viable agricultural sector. I actually work with a couple of organizations that now are actually trying to leverage what we have out in the environment using the regional center designation within Hackettstown and the train station, with work that I'm doing in Hoboken and connections that we have with farmers markets, not only in Hoboken, but in Hickman as well. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public?
The Highlands Act that this council made has become a feast for planners. The planner Xerox boilerplate work product prepared by this council staff recycle the paper back to their municipality clients and pick up a big check along the way. I hear all this talk recently about everyone bearing a share of the pain. Well, so should the town. The town should pay for their own planners if Highlands needs. Surely, I have had to pay for my professional in seeking to solve my Highlands problem. In fact, I am asked to pay for both my professional and my town's professional. That professional, who has already received several council grants. I strongly oppose more feasibility grants to planners. And I propose that landowners have access to grants to assist them in their professional needs in connection with it, obtaining compensation for their Highlands losses, as well as municipality. Thank you very much.
Anybody else in the public?
data show, by land in the preservation area. I've lived in Hagstown area since 1965. And one thing that I have not noticed about the Hagstown area is its brownfields. I think that's a red herring that has essentially no validity. And to make such a charge or a speculation without proof is just irresponsible. There's nothing in the Highlands Act that requires you to grant designations that Hagstown is requesting, town center, or whatever you want. If you want to use the granting of this to perhaps cajole them into accepting TDRs, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, because you do not have to grant town center designations. As a matter of fact, I don't know if you can do that under the law. Normally this is granted by another state department, so I want to know more about your ability to grant town center designations before you grant them. I'm not in support of this. I think that without Pakistan being required to accept TDRs as a condition of the town center designation, you're just throwing more money at them. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public?
Elliot Rubin, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. What many towns in the Highlands don't have access to, and that sorely is needed, is access to good planning. And good planning is an important part of seeing the Highlands Regional Master Plan to be able to come into fruition and accomplish its goals. Good planning is something that I've been to many planning board meetings throughout the Highlands, and I can see that with the business as usual approach to sort of stuck in ways of doing business that they have for 30 years or so, and that to be able to afford them in conjunction with the Highlands Council staff how to do things differently than they have in the past is enabling them to grow in ways they haven't considered before, to result in plans they haven't thought was possible. I think this is a good thing, and I think this is money well spent. Thank you.
Anybody else here? Sorry.
I'd like to urge the council to approve this grant. I think that it's based on the regional plan, and this is a way to look at it in a more detailed way to make the kinds of calculations and investigations and analyses to determine whether the center is appropriate. And unfortunately, I think Hagstown is probably not incredibly wealthy. I think that and everyone has been given equal opportunity as part of the program here for the state to assist in creating this regional plan, which is benefiting the state as a whole. At least 2/3 of the people who drink the Highlands water supply are benefiting from it. And of course many others in other ways as well, recreational, fun, produce, and so forth. So I do urge you to please approve this. I think it is a wise decision to accompany this. Thank you very much.
Anybody else in the public here? Yes.
Heinrich, New Jersey Farm Bureau. We're always glad to see one more town looking into TDR, and in hope that you will grant this grant so that they will do the feasibility examination and hopefully come up with a plan with
action. Hackettstown has been a regional center in the agricultural area for a couple hundred years, and I hope as they look into the feasibility that they'll check with the needs of the farmers within the region and perhaps add commercial and retail, whatever will help them.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Yes, sir.
My name is Harold Danielson, and once again, on this application, I noticed that you know, one species alone which was put on the list was the copperhead snake.
This is about the TDR.
Oh, it's about the TDRs?
You want to come up with a regular application anyway.
Well, I do have a question to Mr. James when he went after the farmers, polluting.
I don't think he went after
the farmers. I didn't go after the farmers.
Well, he went after farms. You say you're one of the biggest polluters.
I did not say they were.
Why don't you get rid of the golf courses? They're the biggest ones and also the biggest water users. You wipe them out, you wipe everything out.
Well, next time I own a golf course, I'll think about selling it.
Well, maybe next time you go to one.
I don't golf.
I don't believe it.
Unless it's got a climate change and a window, I don't golf.
Pardon?
Thank you.
I'm not quite done yet. This is not
unfair. Become adversarial with members.
No, I'm becoming adversarial about the condition that I was left in.
I can appreciate that, but
no, you can't. You don't appreciate it. You don't know.
You advise that you're going through.
Pardon?
Okay. You need to come back. Okay.
No, I'm what charge?
You're not being charged with anything.
What charge? I'm going to stay here. I have a board. I'm going to stay here.
You need to come back. Okay?
I'm not going.
Okay. Well, you're going to go.
For what reason? I want the charge.
To end up where you're under arrest.
Weren't you the gentleman I dealt with?
Under arrest for what?
Of disrupting a public meeting.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is not something I like to see, unfortunately, beyond our control. Does anybody else wish to be heard at this time? Seeing none.
Okay, now get a motion for approval.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alston?
I can't support this resolution without the inclusion of the presidential right
now. Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzman?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richtro?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
No.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Next up, we have a public hearing consideration of resolution for planning performance for the town of Hackettstown in Warren County. This is a new resolution since the last one was
used. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am going to try to go through this quickly because you did, and the public members did see this at the last meeting. Just to recognize Councilwoman Di Giuliani is here, Paul Skirvin, the planner, Darlene Jay, a planner, and Councilman Conforti. I think they're all the ones from Pakistan that are here tonight. I also want to recognize Mary Jo Hadadwala, who is the planner from the Highlands Council, who's taken this through the whole process and is the liaison. Significant Highlands statistics, just to let you know that the planning area lands is 91% of the municipality, preservation area lands 9%, the conformance is for 100% of the municipality. Here is a look at Hackettstown. So you can see the overlay zones, what I talked about before. You won't see conservation or agricultural lands here, you'll see existing community and some protection lands. These lands here are wildlife management area lands. The preservation area is this portion up here, which is also preserved land. This is an important slide just to show you infrastructure. This shows you public water and wastewater. This slide shows you again those preserved lands. It's important in the context of what we're doing to look at those lands that were seen under the Reba Masters plan zoning as protection. Most of these lands are already preserved. The centre that they're asking for as part of their petition includes their central business district, Hackettstown Historic District, the Centenary College campus, the Steiger Street redevelopment area, Hackettstown Regional Medical Center and the Affordable Housing, which is adjacent to that, the M&M Mars facility, and the commercial residential development near the border with Mansfield Township. The total area of the center is approximately 743 acres, all of which is in the planning area. This map shows you the proposed center here. You can see how it stretches up through the developed portion of the municipality. It also includes historic area, and Hackettstown have taken pains to protect their historic properties. This is the petition showing you the time from plan conformance that they've worked with us up until this period of time going through the different modules. Public comments were received from the Erica Van Auken on behalf of the coalition, and as I said earlier, comments response document is available on the website. This is a quick look at all their modules, all completed, all consistent. The specific issues here, a Highland Centre has been requested. There were requests for regional master plan updates. We've addressed all of those. Any that were factual corrections have been corrected. The map adjustments in the redevelopment area are encompassed in their centre request. The recommendation from the Highland Council staff is to approve with the usual conditions. Here we've listed some of those major conditions. And that brings you to your deliberation on the petition from the town of Hackettstown.
So prior to open the public, council members, have any comments? So, changes that we have considered this time, and only the consideration that we are going to look at commercial development as far as CDR development.
The only objection that we heard was the question of TDR, and in terms of it being based on commercial retail, the staff did an analysis when they were looking at transportation throughout the region, which showed that most of the jobs in the region, the people in the region are commuting out to jobs. That's what we found in our studies, and so staff who studied this in the region will say that in areas like Hackettstown, there are residents that could work in and locally around that area that could work in an area if it was redeveloped. So I just wanted to add that to the comments.
Yeah,
Good evening, Paul Servins, planner engineer for the town of Hackettstown. Just to clarify the numbers, we're looking at residential destruction or potential residential destruction in the town. We're looking at approximately 583 units either currently approved or going to be approved sometime in the future. And just to go through them, there was a master plan amendment that was adopted in February 2010 by our planning board to allow 200 residential units on Bilby Road, which is adjacent to the hospital, the theory being that housing would be available to hospital workers. There's 180 units approved on the site immediately south of the former Hackettstown Wall that has the Lowe's on it, and that site is somewhat dubious. It's the unfinished wall site if you've ever been to Hackettstown on Mountain Avenue. So there is 180 units approved on that site, as well as 20,000 square feet of retail space. Around the corner on Route 57, in the vicinity of the Shell station, there's a development that's currently under construction for senior citizen apartments. And that development will have 104 units on it once it's completed. And lastly, the Bergen Pool site, which is a brownfield site, there was first a master plan amendment and later an ordinance amendment that was adopted in 2010 by the Hackettstown Planning Board that would allow for a mixed-use development, some very significant retail and office space on the site, as well as up to 99 residential units. I believe the number, if I calculated correctly, would be 583 units.
So you believe, you as an expert, James of the town, believe that residential concerns have been being met?
Yes, I do.
That takes care of your COLA obligation?
It does. In fact, one of the major reasons, and this was commented upon at the last meeting in June 16th, I think there was some negative comments from some of the commenters here, was about the 200 units on Dobie Road. The chief reason for that size of development on that particular site was to address our COLA obligation. And that development, coupled with Bergen Tool and some of the other things that I just mentioned, will provide compliance with the third round of COLA.
Based on your current improvement pipeline, what do you expect the population of Hackettstown to increase by?
I don't know, sir.
What is the current population?
The population, I believe, is on the order of about 9,900. I believe the 2000 census was 8,984, and I think the estimate right now is about 9,900, I believe.
Mr. Chairman, just like the support of the application. We heard an excellent presentation, a lot of discussion at the last meeting on this, and I just want to tell you to come back again, but I think it's well worth your while.
Any other comments from council members? I have a question for Paul, if I may. First of all, the sidewalk is great, as you know, it's your question.
Thank you.
This is for, there is for most of the mayor for my municipality, from no longer here, just president. With regard to sewer capacity, when I put it down, I received some phone calls and I was told that one of the issues with the sewer capacity which had to come to a factor as far as residential work. Can you speak to what the sewer capacity issues might be in Hackettstown?
There is limited sewer capacity with respect to water, I believe. The council in their studies has identified this area to be in a water deficit, and one of the major focuses of the water conservation planning that will be done if this petition is approved as is presented tonight. So there are sewer and water, potential water issues here in the Hackettstown region. And just so the council is aware, the sewer system in Hackettstown isn't exclusive to the town of Hackettstown. It serves a number of other communities. Portions of the service area extend into both Morris County, specifically Mount Olive Township and Washington Township, and it also extends to several other communities in Warren County, specifically Mansfield Township and Independence Township. So there's quite a bit of land that is tributary to our treatment facilities or water supply facilities in the Hackettstown region.
One of the reasons I voted no last time to this was because we asked some questions and we didn't get answers, and I understand that we made some history by denying the application, the first one denied, and that sort of took me by surprise. And perhaps professionals and members of the government bodies can come prepared to answer questions, because for the most part, it's been pretty routine to these things about the passenger on the Hampton King. I was not there at the time, it was at that point, but it was pretty much here's the presentation, the vote was taken, the picture was taken, and everybody was home. Given the fact that you've answered my satisfaction, the surgery about taking on more residential development, integrating it to center destination as part of this, if I'm correct.
That's correct. Right.
And that the assumption was made that the CDR, once the linchpin agreement is approved, if this were approved, whether you need to continue with the CDR proposal or pursuit for the commercial and industrial, was that something that you did mostly to appease the two clubs?
Well, we're committed to doing that study. We heard you loud and clear. There's been some discussions between staff and the governing body members of the town of Hackettstown. We agreed to do a GDR study to see what capacity our infrastructure has to absorb some development, some commercial development from the outside. So we're committed to that study. That's part of the package here. We're not just going to ignore it if the council were to approve the petition tonight.
Okay. Any other council members? Okay, now at this point, time we'll open it to the public. We need a motion. Oh, sorry.
A vote.
One second.
Motion is second. Now we'll open to the public.
Sylvia Kovacs again, resident of Independence Township, municipality that adjoins the town of Hackettstown. My property, a small farm in the preservation area, is less than a mile from Hackettstown, and I get my water from the Hackettstown Municipal Authority that I call just reference. I do my banking, I do my shopping in Hackettstown, I go to the hay auction on Tuesday mornings on a regular basis on Sarga Street, which is going to be part of the designation that Irene has mentioned with regards to the preservation for the town center. I also had the opportunity when we first moved out to Independence Township to serve on my town's land use board for several years. In that capacity, I was fortunate or unfortunate, but there were several times we had applications to change it for that actually impacted very heavily on the town attack of town. So I'm aware of the ecosystem aspect, carrying capacity aspect of it also. Again, reinforcing my support for the TDR, those are the kind of things that I think they also need to be looking at. But I also very much support the town of Hackettstown petition for plan performance, and very much welcome their desire to become a regional center. In particular, I firmly believe, coming from a farming family back in Eastern Europe, that one of the things that really can help us with regards to this economic reset is really focusing on local food distribution, value add, organic, permaculture, and using this as a distribution center. So there are a whole bunch of things that I'm hoping that they can actually, within the context of their plan performance and their regional center designation, to look at those aspects. I work with several area organizations that look forward to working with Hackettstown to help revitalize our regional economy. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public? Yes, yes.
I'm Marion Harris. I'm the chairman of the Marsh County Trust for Historic Preservation and also a trustee of the organization Preserve Historic Hackettstown. We've been working with them for about 10 years, raising the town's consciousness about the value of their cultural assets and their wonderful collection of historic buildings. It's a real reward to see that finally a town is coming to you with a request to that's as serious about preserving its historic assets as it is about its environmental aspects of its program. This is a chance for you to bring together the two purposes of the Act, which are to protect the environment and protect the built environment as well. And here, Hackettstown is being very specific in its request. The Bergenthal property, which has been described in various ways here, is, among other things, an outstanding complex of historic 19th century mill buildings, which would lend itself remarkably to adaptive reuse, primarily for commercial purposes. There's room there for residential use. If they wanted to put it there, whatever makes the property work would be an excellent anchor for the downtown of Pakistan, which is also an outstanding historic center. The buildings there would lend themselves beautifully to this kind of project. And we would like very much to see you approve this project because we think it's going to be good for both the environment and the built environment.
Anybody else? Yes, sir.
David Shope. I know that the Hackettstown MUA has been trying to get permission from DEP to increase its sewer capacity. But I don't know if they've been successful or not, and I also don't know from today's presentation how much of the projected growth, 500 some odd units, can be serviced by existing capacity or whether additional capacity has been granted. Your planners still here, and maybe you can ask them. It's something that you should find out about before you approve anything. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
City. My name is Scott Olson. I'm Deputy Mayor of Byram Township. I'm here to speak in support of this application. I think that Hackettstown is a regional center, and what the Highlands Act was asked to do is to recognize regional planning. I think that by designating them officially a regional center, it gives them great benefit. It also allows the residents of neighboring towns, such as mine, a place to work, a place to go to the hospital. I have residents in the southern part of my town that exclusively deal with Hackettstown. In the northern part, they go to Newton as their regional center there. But I think when you've got a hospital, you've got potential for
someone to Rockford.
Well, they do. That's a different direction. But when you've got a hospital, when you've got a center like that, and you have empty buildings that need redevelopment, this is the best possible use for doing so. One of the biggest job losses in our area, that you're well aware of, is when BASF lost Mount Olive. And so there's a lot of my residents and your residents, I'm sure, who have to travel Parsippany and further eastern New York City for jobs now. I think by looking at creating jobs within Hackettstown, it would create a counter commute. It would make it easier and much more attractive for people to live in the empty homes in our neighborhoods as well. So I fully support this application.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard at this time? And none. Close the public portion.
Chair, motion to that.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Chief Ryan. I'm a resident of Long Valley for about the better part of 20 years. I was a resident of Hackettstown. At one time, I was a member of the HMUA at Hackettstown. I fully support this application. I fully support the focus of TDR feasibility on commercial and to the extent light industrial. Hackettstown as has been noted, a regional center of some history, but it's also developed within a 19th century framework, and anybody who's ever driven through there on a Saturday knows that you can do a combat crawl up the street faster than most cars can move. The problem in Hackettstown in terms of its development or redevelopment and operation of the center is not getting more people. They have plenty of people in that small space, and they drive through and they go to other towns that have developing green fields where we are trying to preserve water resources. The problem for Hackettstown in this feasibility study grant, the TDR grant that you just approved, will help in this regard, is to find uses, commercial and industrial, that will attract businesses and allow people to stay working in the community. I live at the foot of Schoolies Mountain, and I can tell you that taking a left onto the road means that I'm going to get in line with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of folks coming from Hackettstown and Mansfield heading out of the area to work down the 78 corridor and the 287 corridor. So the idea that we need more housing to bring more people into the area so they can work here just doesn't work. Bear in mind, as Paul Sturbins has indicated, that the town of Hackettstown, its wastewater treatment plant, its water supplies are all in deficit watersheds, deficit hucks. The town of Hackettstown is trying to retire its surface water resources and replace them with groundwater resources. It's right on the edge of supporting what it can support. And you can certainly bring in much more commercial and industrial development that will create jobs with a much lower water burden and wastewater burden than if you were to bring in residential. There's also the problem of traffic in that town, as I've mentioned, and that creates environmental problems all of its own. You have to realize that not only is the town of Hackettstown wastewater treatment plant in the preservation zone, but it discharges to the C1 stream. And I'm sure that the stringency of the regulations as to the discharge of nutrients into C1 streams is not going to decrease. It's going to increase, which puts Hackettstown in a bind to create more wastewater load of not being able to treat it properly and reaching limitations. So having attended many, many, many planning board, zoning board, and town council meetings, I know that they have worked very hard to try to develop a plan that will allow them to grow as much as possible and possibly create resources for TDR, and still meet the limitations in terms of natural and man-made infrastructure. So based upon what I've seen in the plan and what's been discussed here this evening and the last time Hackettstown was here, I fully support this. Thank you.
Anybody else?
And
I've been a long time, not an old guy, but I've been here my entire life. Hacked down that part of my life a long time. Probably none of you know that Strand just cost $1 to go to the movie right on Main Street. Where Strand sold pianos for a long time, and now I don't even know what the Strand is doing, and the train boat's closing. No, I can't know. Back again? Retiring. But that being said, we're charged to be a regional planning authority. And we had somebody speak to us before and said everybody has to carry their share of the burden. We had a population of 2 million people on the globe just in 1950. We're up to 7 million. And projections in the next 20 years and another 1.5 billion or something. People, population is growing. We need to provide for appropriate housing for these people. Children shouldn't have to move far away from their families if they want to stay close and still have education for their family. So where do they go? If we suggest that it's not appropriate to build an act down because they deem that they've done their part, they don't want to do it for, so they want to stay in Jersey, they want to stay in Jersey. And I guess they go to the state for Hudson or Essex County. Except the irony there is it's going to produce more water usage, which is coming from the Highland region anyway. So where is the regional planning outlook in terms of all these decisions that we make? A long time ago, we considered an application for Mansfield Castle for their sewer authority. And nobody except for Tracy was here at that time. And as you heard today, Hackettstown is providing sewer and water to a big chunk of Mansfield Township, and we need additional areas in Mansfield Township. And yet we're hearing they don't have the ability to do what they're doing now. But yet, on the other hand, we said that that's a place where it would be appropriate for continued growth to close the kind of interior center of the town center. Trying to think of some parable or some parallel to describe how I feel about looking at commercial TDR and not residential TDR, or commercial development and not residential. And I think it would be like if my wife and I participated in a facility experiment, but us agreeing to do it only on the basis that we can use curb control. You know, the TDR system that we're left with is not going to work if we don't have receiving areas. And the receiving areas have to be the traditional town centers. Phillipsburg, Washington Borough, Hackettstown, Dover, Morristown. If these traditional town centers are not going to be willing to participate in the TDR program, and we as a regional planning authority are not going to recognize that that's going to be an integral part of making this whole thing work, it's going to fail. Half of the $10 million is gone on the TDR bank now. I got an interview yesterday from the Star Ledger, you know, what do you think? And I said, I think it's great that they've approved the applications that they have so far, just we're going to run out of money soon. And I said that there's no prospect for private infusion of cash into the TDR bank because we have no receiving here. And yet the state has no money, so basically the only mechanism that we have to truly afford people compensation for their lost equity to close the Highlands Act is virtually going to run out of money. The potential for us to get the extra $10 million, I'd say, is pretty tight. Well, maybe Governor Christie will find it, maybe he won't, but I imagine we're not going to be very high on the list, and if we get it, I'll be happy. But on the other hand, I'm a fiscal conservative, and I say that maybe that's $10 million he doesn't need to spend right now. Bottom line is, these regional centers have to consider the potential for future growth. And if we don't recognize that as a board, then I think we might as well dismiss the fact that we are a regional planner.
They have training, they have interstate close by, they've got hospitals, they've got employment, they've got plenty of malls. Lord only knows why they want more malls. 20 years ago, pretty nice when Hackettstown didn't really have a lot of malls. So those and everybody else that came out. I just can't support this because I can't see, and it'll happen in Phillipsburg, and it can happen in Washingtonboro, and Dover, and Marstown, if there's not going to be a realistic and open approach to considering future residential growth, and we'll support them either. I don't mean to be a sour apple in the barrel today, but I really feel passionate about the fact that we have to look at things on a much larger scale. That's what we're charged to do. And I think it's just another one of these things, and I'll let them build someplace else, let them eat cake.
Appreciate your concerns, but I think there's many aspects you can look at as policy that can be reviewed at the regional planning board, not just this one. But the TDR program and the law set up as it is set up. I'm hoping to have a policy meeting with this board at our next meeting, and that's what we have. I made sure, I read the article this morning, or did I think it was the new leader of the I think you hit the nail on the head with the fundamental flaw of this act and why this act is not really supposed to be a regional planning board. It's supposed to be a regional node development. They give you all the tools to do strategic planning except the tool to locate growth. And that is, if you're to have a true regional planning board, you've got to have all the authority or it's an incomplete plan. Talk about good planning. Good planning involves having a comprehensive set of tools at your disposal. I don't believe for one minute the intention ever was to provide this governing, this council, the ability to locate groups. Despite the wonderful words in the act, this act was written to stop growth. If they wanted us to put any kind of group, even smart group, they would have given us the power to determine where the seniors become the nation. I think it's the nail on the head, and I don't know if it's a policy issue or the part of the law not set to not change it, but for sure, it's the fundamental flaw in the act.
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to drag this out, it's really in time to vote, but the very first town that came in for a survival, you talk about not allowing development, there was a town center, we have a deputy mayor here, and there was added development, residential development. This is not a regional committee that is doing away with development. We are looking for smart growth.
Chairman, this calls us, I don't want to add to the time here, but I feel compelled to say every single plan that we've looked at, and throughout the development of the regional master plan as well, we built in smart growth. There, if you look through and read those sections that deal with town centers, that deal with how growth is to go forward in the Highlands region, you'll see that, and in many instances, I thought it was too broad, frankly. But you'll see that throughout the plan, smart growth is provided for. And here tonight, we voted on a feasibility study for TDR, which is growth. It may not be residential, but it's still growth. And every plan that's come before us has had that component in it. The difference to me is instead of it being top-down, it's bottom-up. It's a true participation from the municipalities upward to this council. And they take part in the decision-making about what they want in their town. And the people who live in those towns speak to those elected representatives. And it's a system that's working, and I can't say that it has worked in the primary. And I know that even though the Pineland has a mandated component from GDR, in the Highlands Act, we do not have that component. And it has not been a winner in the Pineland in terms of mandating that growth. I think the state learned something from that and realized that there has to be a participatory program here. And municipalities and the people who live in these municipalities have to be making decisions about where growth would go. And that's what we built into the plan. Also, just want to remind everybody that a law was passed that allows growth areas to be anywhere in the Highlands counties. It does not have to be just in the area, the few towns that
Kurt just mentioned. So we can transfer out development rights to other areas of the state. It's not limited to just the five towns. So by giving the public the impression that we're stifling votes by not forcing PBR on the few towns you mentioned, we're misleading the public.
Well, I think there's a lot of misleading going on here because there's other factors that go into it beyond PBRs, including my area in general and the opt-in aspect of it. So there's a lot of, that's why I'm saying that the PBRs, my initial response to Kurt, the PBRs are going to one step of a bigger problem. And in the law, it's quite clear that you can't force a municipality to do it. And that's why I disagree with you on that one issue. But, having said that, there's many aspects of the act that I think should be looked at. And the opt-in aspect in the planning area is very important.
Any other comments?
Well, I believe, Mr. Chairman, that we should continue what we're doing and assist it now with the concepts of TDR or smart growth, although sometimes in New Jersey that's an oxymoron. But I think I truly believe a municipality is responsible for the municipality, and I now have a little bit of a discomfort inside of my comfort zone for some regional anybody to come to my town and tell me what's good for my town. I think the elected body of the town knows what's good for their town better than anybody else. If they choose to come forward and say we want to do this, that, or the other thing, that's ultimately their responsibility, and they're responsible to their constituents for that. And so, although I believe we have a lot of value as a regional board, at the end of the day, it's the responsibility of the municipal elected officials to make the final decision on what they're going to do with TDRs, with conformers, or whatever else, that, and it's our obligation to help them when they make that decision.
Doesn't that bring down the counter to the ones dictating the preservation area? The one that says you shall comply?
Yes, I'll keep it. I didn't say it like that.
Oh, okay, all right.
But I did say that I pay a lot of respect and appreciation to local municipalities that come forward to us with an effort to work within the Act and the Regional Management Plan. And just faithful as part of that might be. It's the law is the law.
Any other comments? Ian Nunn, apologize for hacking down the book for child under the house. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Austin?
No.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzman?
Yes.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richardson?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizziola?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
No.
Chairman Ryman?
Yes.
At this point in time, we're at 2.5 hours.
Next item up is plan performance for Alpha Borough.
Okay, so petition for plan performance, the public hearing for Alpha Borough. And we have with us tonight Dan Schwick, who's the borough engineer, and Dave Lasky, who's the planner. And Chris Dannis, who I introduced you to earlier, is the Highland Council planning liaison for this town. A quick look at Alpha Borough. It is 100% in the planning area, so they have made the decision to petition for plan conformance. About 43% of municipality falls into the conservation zone, your agricultural land. 10% in the protection zone, the majority of the town falls into the existing community zone. Here is a look at Alpha Borough, and you can see here that you looked earlier on at Pohat Pond, which comes around the municipality. Here it is within the region. A look at the mapping. They spoke there about existing community. You can see the developed nature of the community here. You can see the open lands here and the protection zone, those areas that are over here in protection zone. We'll talk more about that particular cycle center designation because part of their petition also includes center designation. This slide is important just to show you infrastructure as it exists in the town. The purple shows you where you have sewer and public water. So you see areas that just the blue is just public water. And this shows you preserved land as well. I think it's an important slide too to show you where they are with high priority, which was a requirement under the Act to show high priority for ag and for conservation planning as well. And there you see it with high and moderate. These are priority areas for protection of ag land. The council has worked closely with Alpha Borough to develop a proposal for a centre. And you can see it over here, it's shown outlined in red. And this is consistent, it's what we do with Pohat Pond wrapped around to here. So you can see how from a regional perspective, we do look at this working together with different municipalities that are adjacent to each other. The proposed centre encompasses the mostly developed area there, bordering Pohat Pond. On the eastern boundary along Edge Road, and the industrial zone includes existing industrial and warehouse uses, as well as the Alpha Quarry, which is a municipally owned brownfield site. Earlier when I showed you that area over here, that's when I thought I'd get back into that. This area here where you see the quarry pond is there, this is a municipally owned brownfield site, so it is part of their request to be included in the centre. The centre represents 41% of the total land within the borough. It provides for areas of infill, development and redevelopment, and is the protection land in the Highland Centre includes the redevelopment of the Alpha Quarry site and agricultural lands that are bordered by Route 78, existing development in Pohat Pond and Alpha Borough. The centre has access to freight rail. The protection and conservation zones that are in the Highland Centre are not identified as critical habitat, are adjacent to developed land with infrastructure. And we compare that to the nature and extent of the land outside of the centre that are in the conservation zone. As part of their centre development, they are looking to examine the potential for a TDR programme. This is a look back at the timing of their petition from when they first petitioned the council. It was in October of last year and brings you up to today's date after public comments were taken to the today's public hearing. We did receive comments from Erica Van Alten for New Jersey Highlands Coalition and Helen Heinrich, New Jersey Farm Bureau. And as stated before, the detailed responses and those comments have been posted on our website. And none of them cause any reason for us to change our recommendation to the council. Here's where they meet the requirements for plan conformance, the 7 modules you can see there, and the specific issues, the Highlands Centre request and regional master plan updates, again that's that factual information correction, and the Highlands Centre itself again mentioned there. Again, the staff recommendation is to approve, here's the listing of the major conditions in this particular one, and what, draw your attention to a couple of them, the centre with the TDR evaluation, and agri-retention farm preservation plan, which again we encourage the town to work as we do closely with the Department of Agriculture. And that brings you to your consideration of the petition from Alpha Borough.
Any comments? Any council members have any comments at this point before going to the public? Seeing none, I need a motion to move that to the chair. I have a motion and a second. At this point in time, I'd like to open it up to the public. If anybody from the public wish to be heard on this application? Yes, sir. The chair seems to have moved around a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Erica Van Alken from the New Jersey Highlands Coalition, and I just wanted to reiterate the comments that I've already submitted. We support the petition, and, well, we support it on the condition that if the plans are developed, so that we don't add further stress to the wastewater and water system to aid those for sewer treatment plants. That was my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public wish to be heard on this application? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm New Jersey Farm Bureau. This is one of the two that I mentioned before that we're concerned with advice that's being given to the professional planners of the town. I want to say that we're, again, we support any town that's going to look at TDR, and we support the center designation. But when what we're told in response to our comments is that municipalities have certain discretion within the existing state statutes regarding agricultural development. And Section 610 applies only to those developments for which an exemption or an exclusion does not apply. We see this as having implications beyond agricultural development, in that if a farmer wants to change a commodity or change to a different form of agriculture without developing anything, it sounds like the town has the discretion to set bulk density setback standards and so forth, whereas the Great Farm Act says it's only in the case of farm markets that the Act doesn't automatically preempt. The reason for this, you may think this is very an awful lot of power given to the Farm Act, because the number one problem farmers have is the regulation of cattle in terms of, you know, what they try to do to put boundaries around the flexibility to change and continue to stay viable with the market. So Alpha was told they could outlaw no poultry for livestock that says right in there in this section. And we question whether that's good for our viability. We question whether Alpha has the power to do that. I really feel that we ought to work with you to clarify the, you know, the right message.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard at this time?
Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. We support Alpha's petition. However, I think that specific care needs to be taken in the center. Center because the entire municipality is in a carbonate rock area, and that definitely should have constraints on development. So that needs to be addressed in detail as the planning moves forward. It's also in a good watershed area. So there are, even though a large portion of the town is already developed, so maybe it's only about half, but there are environmental constraints that still need to be addressed.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public wish to be heard on this application? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Seeing none, roll call.
Councilmember
Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember
Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Darden?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis? Councilmember Holtzman?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Thank you. Congratulations.
No.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That was.
Public hearing and consideration of resolution, petition for plan conformance for Wartonborough, Warren County.
Okay, here we start the slide behind you. You can see photographs from Wartonborough. I'm not sure. I know Mary Jude is our liaison for Wartonborough. And here's my question. And John Weinhardt, the administrator from Wartonborough, is with us to represent the city in this house. Thank you. And this is a 100% planning area municipality. We were recently asked to go out there and do a presentation to the municipality on plan conformance. And they are choosing, obviously, to come in voluntarily to conform with the regional master plan. Protection zone is about 14% of the municipality. The existing community zone, which is the developed portion, is about 70% of the municipality. Here you have a look at Wartonborough. You can see it in the context of the Highlands. It's one of them in the very center of the municipality. Here you see, again, the developed nature forest area. And this feeds into, then, the mapping for the area. You see existing community zone. These orange ones are just where there's constraints. Within the existing community zone. And as I show you more clearly here, you can see the protection zone, and that is that forested area of the municipality. Again, here we're looking at watershed values and importance in lake management areas around here, and your watershed values low and high values. The low is in this color behind here. This shows you infrastructure. Again, we've seen across the Highlands, and this part is very different, but many times we see where they have only sewer or only water. In these slides where you see the purple dominating, you know that they've got both water and sewer, which obviously makes it easier working and moving forward in terms of potential for development. This next slide shows you preserved lands, and this is a critical one because it shows you all of these lands here that you saw as forested as being already preserved. And then moving forward, to their request, as part of their petition, they are requesting to be recognized as a center. It will revitalize the main street and facilitate redevelopment opportunities. The pond here in the middle, Washington Forge Pond, is seen as a focal point and is expected to serve as a community recreational resource. The proposed center incorporates the main street corridor and the industrial area east of Main Street, East Dewey Avenue, redevelopment area, and the old Irondale Road affordable housing site. You see it all here shown in red, so you can see the, this is the area where your Whitlock Industries, a very successful industry that is actually looking to expand. The Highland Centre is approximately 417.5 acres of the 1,362 total acreage of the municipality. This is a look back on at their petition from the time it was brought into the council to today's meeting and public hearing after public comments have been taken. We did receive comments from Helen Heinrich on behalf of the New Jersey Farm Bureau, Erica Van Auken, New Jersey Highlands Coalition, and in this case also from Rob Freudenberg and Peter Kasbach on behalf of the Regional Plan Association and New Jersey Future. Here you'll have a look at their plan conformance modules, and you can see that they're consistent with everything. They are asking for the center. They did have a request for an update, and TDR evaluation is part of their center proposal. Here you see the recommendation from the staff is to approve with conditions. Here we've listed the major conditions. In this case, I think it's important to see the center and the TDR evaluation. Also a Highland Sea Development Area Plan and Sustainable Economic Development Planning. There's Lake Restoration Management Plan in this one as well. And that brings you to council deliberation on the Wharton Borough level.
Can I get a motion on this? Second. Any discussion, council members, for open to the public? Seeing none, at this point in time, we'll open Wharton's application up to the public. Anybody like to be heard? Please raise your hand.
Preserve alternative parcels in the event that there is forest loss from development. We do have some concerns that Wharton is already pretty close to build up, so that the availability of remaining parcels might be limited. So because of that, we might encourage cluster development or a detailed plan of low impact development options. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this application? Motion to any further council discussion? Seeing none, roll call.
Councilmember Alston?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Holthaway?
Yes.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes.
Next up we have public hearing and consideration of resolution for plant informant for Oxford Township.
Deputy Mayor Bonnie Riley is here with us tonight, and Stephen Gibbons is here, thank you, and Mike Snelly, the country engineer, and Paul Beek, the planner, is here, and I'm not sure if there's going to be else representing the municipality. Is that it? Thank you. Okay, they're all here representing the municipality. Here you see a couple of pictures from Oxford Township. They are in the preservation area, about a little more than half, 57% of municipalities. 43% falls within the planning area. Of the planning zones, you'll see that 61% is in the protection zone, 18% in the conservation zone, and in the existing community, about 18% are 699 acres. Here's again a look within the region. You can see where Oxford Township is located. Here you can see the forested areas, so you can get an idea of some of the areas that would fall into the protection zone and the existing community zone, and then some of the agricultural land. Here you see it through the Highlands mapping, and a little more clearly there. You can see a lot of areas up here in wildlife management area already protected. This shows you your high quality sub-watershed, the Huxley 14 level, and your moderate value there, and the wetlands and streams. This shows you steep slopes. So you can see here some very, the darker colors in them, the steepest of the slopes in Oxford Township. This one shows you historic properties. It shows you New Jersey Historic District. So we thought we'd pick out some of them out to show you rather than showing you them all in terms of their particular importance in particular municipalities. Also areas noted as scenic resources. Now this shows you again, we've been focusing on this a little bit, in the public community water system, where you see sewer and where you see both. So here's one where you can see that it's just a sewer here. It has both in this area, and so you can see areas of zoning sewer. It is supported by public water systems as well. This shows you your preserved land, a lot of municipality, and then high and moderate for future preservation. There, high and, again, high and moderate conservation priority area. The petition before you this evening comes with a request for a Highland Centre to assist with economic development and redevelopment of industrial sites. Iron ore mining operations began in the 1700s and were followed by the textile industry operating until the first half of the 20th century. And for those of you that know Oxford well, as you drive through in the centre, when you're in the industrial historic district, and close to that you see this area here, which is the area of the old Oxford textile mill. And this is the area where they really want to focus redevelopment. Within it you see forested area here. It's a 14-acre forested site. It's proposed for housing, and there's mitigation provided in their planning for the loss of the forested patch. The Oxford Highland Centre includes 367 acres of the 3,878-acre township. So you can see here, surrounded by the red, is the proposal for the new centre. Here, some of this area is very environmentally sensitive, and this is similar to the approach you took in Byron Township, designating these areas as Highland Environmental Resource Sites. And often when you're doing centre, it becomes necessary to recognise that some areas within the centre are sensitive, in the case of Byron Wood Lovers Run. Here's a look back at their petition from the time they put it in to public comment and to the Highland Council public hearing today. We did receive comments from Paul Greek, the planner on behalf of Oxford, Helen Heinrich from New Jersey Farm Bureau, Erica Sutton-Lawson from New Jersey Highlands Coalition, and again, Rob Freudenberg and Peter Kastback on behalf of Regional Plan Association and New Jersey Future. Again, that detailed responses were posted with the comments on our website. Here you see the different modules, the fact that they're all consistent with the Regional Master Plan. You see the specific issues, the Highland Centre, and a continued TDR evaluation in Oxford. They already have started that process as they work with the council for their centre. Again, a staff recommendation to approve, listing the major conditions here. Again, in this case, it's an intra-municipal TDR that they're considering, sustainable economic development plan, habitat conservation management plan for their ag lands, agricultural retention, and farmland preservation. So that's a look at some of those conditions. And that brings you to your deliberations of Oxford Township.
Would anybody from the municipality like to hear in this one stop?
Actually, you did a wonderful job. I just personally want to give my time to the committee and every president to answer expeditions. We don't have emails and phone calls. You did a wonderful job, and we are really looking forward to working with you in the future.
Thank you. At this point in time, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll second that.
Motion and second. Any council members who are open to the public? Being none. Anybody from the public like to be heard on this?
Just quickly, Monique Cassell from the Department of Agriculture. We do support this petition, and I did want to say that it's very encouraging to see other petitions coming in with money to have a center recognized and an area that they want to focus redevelopment and also looking at TDR. So we look forward to phase two, which is the Ag Retention and Development Plan, and figuring out how that's all going to work together. But it is very encouraging to see these petitions coming through, looking at centers where they want to have a core to redevelop and also looking at TDR. Just in a township situation where you have the farmland outside of the center boundary, try to, you know, implement intermunicipality TDR to be able to compensate this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public?
Thank you.
Erica Van Alken, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. We support this petition, and we also understand the effort to minimize impact to 14 acres of critical habitat in a proposed center. We are concerned that the disturbances and impacts to sensitive ecology can never be mitigated by preserving a parcel elsewhere, which is why development sites, including the center, should be planned in such a way that these values are maintained where they currently exist. Thank you.
David Shope, and I'm just going to ask for a clarification. And what zone is the town center? Is it planning or preservation area?
Planning.
Planning?
Planning.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Is anybody else in the public right here on this resolution? Seeing none, we'll close the public portion. Any further comments from council members? Seeing none, roll call.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Ferruccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Doherty?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember James?
Yes.
Councilmember Richo?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Thank you. Next up.
I think the deputy mayor will enjoy this. Been looking for this for a long time, right, deputy mayor?
Yeah.
And there it is.
Okay.
Thank you. We're hoping for you, Phil.
Next up, we have a consideration of resolution proposed Highlands redevelopment area designation for Chivadi. Fragrances Corporation, Block 402, Lot 5, not all township, Ward County.
Okay, representing Givaudan redevelopment.
Okay. Just for the public record, my firm did work for Givaudan probably 10 years ago. We have no continuing contracts or have done any work with them since. So
representing this redevelopment application, we have their engineer, Greg Klukoff, and Juliet Parish attorney. And just to let you know what this is a redevelopment area, Highlands redevelopment area designation you are considering that the council makes. The proposed project is the expansion of an existing building owned and operated by Givaudan Fragrances in Mount Olive Township. It's on Waterloo Valley Road, and it's within the foreign trade zone. The expansion would occur in two locations along the western edge of the building. We'll show you that in a few moments. It's 16,900 square feet for warehouse space, and along the southern edge of the building, where there is currently a cutout of the building, you'll see in a few moments, it's 4,430 square feet also for warehouse space. The applicant has let us understand that they need this in order to consolidate their raw materials in the location of production. It will drive efficiency, it will meet anticipated production needs through 2020, and it will give them room for about 3,000 to 4,000 pallet positions, which is what they need. Failure to expand this particular site, they've informed us, will cause the company to have to transfer a substantial amount of their production facilities outside of the state, and cause them also between 75 and 130 jobs in here in New Jersey. The proposed Highlands redevelopment area contains 71.6% impervious surface in excess of the Highland Pack requirement for at least 70% impervious surface. According to the Act, you have to designate a site of which 70% is existing impervious surface. That allows for the additional redevelopment. The purpose of this designation is to give them that area, and then they would proceed to the second step of this is a waiver provision from the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection for any of the resources that they're impacting. The existing impervious surface on the site is 306,236 square foot, allowable Highlands redevelopment area. You can see there, and the proposed redevelopment area is less than what would be allowed. Here's a picture of the site, and the redevelopment area designation shows here on the site. A little more clearly, you can see the areas where they are supposed to cut out the building, where they're going to be developing here in that expansion. This shows you the existing state there. The area where they're going to develop here is already in disturbed condition. Here you can see from an access road, and here is the cutout. Here you can see, this is why this is in the preservation area. This is what the Act does to allow for development to occur within the preservation area. It provides this waiver opportunity. You can see here the riparian area and open water protection area here. So you can see that there's an impact to those, thus a waiver is necessary. The proposed project entails encroachment of a disturbance into the Highlands open water buffer. Relates to wetland located in the northwest corner of the parcel. And that portion of the buffer area I just showed you is currently disturbed. Encroachment in the buffer is required for the project, and the buffer, seeing that it's in an existing disturbed condition, the waiver from the requirements by NJDEP would be required and is recommended as part of this proposal. Other resources on the site, the northwest corner of the parcel in the area adjacent to the parcel to the west are mapped as forest in a forest resource area, critical habitat, fine groundwater recharge area. It's important to note proposed expansions do not encroach into those areas. Locations of the proposed expansions are located within a Tier 3 wellhead protection area. However, the construction and use of warehouse space would not pose significant potential for discharges of persistent organic or toxic pollutants to groundwater or to land surface. So we did not see that as being a problem. There would be no new water or wastewater requirements as the expansion is for an automated warehouse space. So this is just showing you that we've gone over all the issues so that we could advise you. This just shows you the timeline of when this project came to our attention. There was a pre-application meeting held here at Council May 31st of this year. The applicant submitted their petition for the redevelopment area designation June 6th of this year. And June 21st, we posted, your staff posted, the draft consistency determination and the draft staff recommendation report on the Council website for the required comment period. Public comment period was June 21st to July 7th. And this obviously was the next meeting after that. So that's what brings it to you today. Public comments and responses. Mount Olive Township provided comments. They are supporting the project. For any redevelopment project we bring to your attention, we do bring it to the attention of the municipality to make sure that we bring you whether they are in favor or not. We also received comments from Erica Van Orken from the New Jersey Highlands Coalition and Will McFly on behalf of New Jersey Conservation Foundation. The responses are on our website. The staff recommendation is to approve the proposed Highlands redevelopment area designation subject to the following conditions. This is really to meet the requirements of the Act. The site already has greater than 3% impervious surface, so it will need a Highlands preservation area approval from DEP and a redevelopment waiver. That's a requirement. Encroachment into the Highlands open water buffers. It's entirely within that previously disturbed area, so we don't see any net impact on the functional value of the buffer, and therefore, because again, it requires under the Act a de minimis impact, we believe it qualifies for a waiver from NJDEP, and in fact from the Regional Master Plan. The remainder of the property outside the proposed Highlands redevelopment area to be protected through a conservation restriction, specifically authorizing ecological restoration and maintenance. This has been discussed with the applicant and it's because the waiver gives you that limited opportunity, 70% of the existing impervious, giving you that opportunity for the new development area. And just to advise you, during the Highlands Preservation Area approval process with the Department of Environmental Protection, the applicant is required to supply a stormwater management plan that incorporates low-impact development techniques, which is dictated by the current New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection stormwater rules. And just want to advise you what we do, because many of the council members are new. The process is, should you approve this, it becomes we then send the information down that it's an approved Highlands Redevelopment Area designation by the council. What we do then is we do a sort of a spreadsheet that shows the work that the applicant has done with us in order that there not be a duplication of effort at the DEP. We've done this because we saw that there was a danger that they were being asked to do the same thing again by the department, make the same proofs to the same submittals. So what we do is we try to make it seamless, and we stay with the applicant through the process by agreeing to attend meetings with the department should we be asked to do so, to support the application and support the redevelopment. So that brings you to your consideration of the resolution.
Thank you. Anybody here from GMA? Would you like to hear on anything?
Well, you're a very special job, and we have a lot of representatives.
Can I get a motion?
Also moved. Second. Motion second. Any council discussion? Prior to public? I was just asking. Didn't the discussion a long time ago that the two pieces of the tree zone that was excluded from the planning area was a mapping error? We talked about it. It was talked about more than a half a decade ago. Indeed, and I thought we corrected it, but we don't have the authority to correct it if it is within the mapping as prescribed under the legislation. But it was discussed. Correct.
So, just for the record, the entire trade zone is in the planning area except for two businesses and there's one. And they could have just put the line on the railroad track and the road, and it would have been in the planning area. Just for the record.
Ms. Carlos?
Regardless of how the maps fall out, there are a lot of sensitive environmental resources on the property and adjacent to the property. And so, you know, I would argue that preservation area is appropriately applied when you consider all of, when you go through the application and see, even though this particular business is not intrude, expansion is not going to intrude into the forest resource area and the high intensity watershed area and that sort of thing, those resources are on the property or site and are very important in terms of identifying what's there to be protected. But I just have a couple questions and a couple of comments. First of all, I'm always concerned when I see us eating into the 300-foot buffer. And I understand, and we can see from the pictures, it's already degraded to a certain degree. But it doesn't mean that it can't be restored. It doesn't mean that those resources that the buffer is supposed to be protecting can't do a better job of protecting those resources, and that's a very important purpose on why we put these 300-foot buffers into place. So I'm concerned about that. Another thing I'm concerned about is the Tier 3 wellhead and the fact that this will intrude into that wellhead. And I hear what was said by Ms. Kwan about we don't think that there's going to be any handling of substances that would be a problem, but I also did not see any kind of inventory of the kind of chemicals they use there. I mean, what exactly, has there been a thorough analysis? Do they use chemicals that can be dangerous to well water in the fragrance operation? And I understand it's not a manufacturing expansion, it's going to be warehouse, but they will be handling those and moving those, and that's part of the reason we have a level of protection area, is to keep, exclude as much as possible the risk of exposing a wellhead recharge area to chemicals that could be dangerous for those who drink that water. So what kind of analysis has been done of actually what's done in these pallets, on these pallets that are going to be used?
I could only ask if you would like to speak to that.
Thank you.
Hi, Joseph Chacon. I'm an engineering and facilities manager at Chacon. We have not sat down with the council, with the island council, to really develop an inventory list. It's really just an expansion of what we do. We're not changing what we handle. We'll just do more of it. We're, you know, we're an existing business. That's before my time. I wasn't there when it was planned to develop, but as you know, that we were not in the preservation land, the preservation zone when the building was built. And now that we're in it, you know, we're just referring to here to continue to try to develop and expand our business, you know, for the council to, basically stay our pace. But from a business standpoint, we're not adding anything different than our current business. So that's why I can say now we have over, 2,000 raw materials that go into making fragrances. And chemicals are chemicals.
And if I might add, I'm Greg Clusis, the engineer for the project, and I've been involved in the project since its inception. We're talking a very modest warehouse extension on one side of the building, and everything that is being proposed by Givenon will be inside the warehouse. It will not be outside the warehouse. They do have chemical storage tanks on site, which are protected by pumps and a separate contains all the chemicals that are on site. And of course, I'm sure as you realize, the building itself will have a concrete floor, a viscoelastic layer of plastic under it, so there, even if there was a spill within the warehouse, there wouldn't be any migration area.
Do you have a secondary containment system in place then?
Yeah, where the chemicals are, yes.
Yeah, and where this expansion would be, where you're handling these chemicals, are there any drains that go out of that?
We comply with the DCC city, which is discharge prevention act, part of New Jersey. So we're part of that because you have chemical over certain volumes that we have. So we have to comply and understand already with the DCC. That's been the standard since we've been there.
Will this be in place for the expanded area?
It will be continuing, yeah. The same design of the building will continue.
Thank you. In the discussion about the remainder of the property that's going to be protected by conservation restrictions, and then also in the presentation, you had mentioned that they're not expanding as much as they could, but that they may propose that the restricted area be delineated to allow for further expansion of the Highlands redevelopment area. To the maximum allowable level at some point. So that would come back to the council for a vote. Is that correct?
Yes.
So I just would be concerned about that. I mean, it was flagged as it's not as great as it's going to be, but I think we should realize that they may want to come back and expand further into that area. And so want to have that truth and advertising out there. And do you see that as a likelihood in the near future?
Not that's what the thing is.
Thank you very much.
A couple of questions. Chip and I were in Clifton at one point, right?
Yes.
That site, because I don't recall, I know there's some issues with that site in Clifton. Are there continuing issues with the Givenon site?
Not with the Givenon site. I mean, there's an ongoing prophetic river cleanup that's really involved multiple companies.
The site itself, though, a Superfund site at one point, or just brownfields?
No, I don't know the details of the equipment site. What I can tell you is that was a true chemical plant. We did manufacture and produce raw materials.
Different than what?
Totally different than what we do. Where we are, it's really a combination of mixing the raw material that we purchase. We actually manufacture a lot of those from overseas in our facilities in Switzerland. And really, we're a compounding facility, so we have these raw materials, we mix them, we weigh, mix, package, and ship. No chemical activity at all, so it's like night and day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you.
Anybody from the public wish to be heard on this application?
proposed to the township. This is just such a classic example of a prime New Jersey red tape gala. We are making this company go through all the hoops and applications of a designation by this council, and now you're sending them down to the DEP to go through another huge round of expensive hoops and mazes. This process should be centralized. An authority for making these decisions should be in one place and done simply.
Okay. Anybody else in the public? Yes, sir.
My name is David Shope, and I support this application, and I noticed that a couple of key things were mentioned today. One is, given on last I heard, I could be wrong on this, but it was owned by Hoffman LaRoche, which is a Swiss company. Hoffman LaRoche, is this still true?
No.
Okay. In any case, Givaudan, like so many other companies in this area, if you hassle them too bad, they're gone. The Lehigh Valley is looking better and better to a lot of companies, and many have jumped across the river. It's not that far. You mess with them too much, and they're gone, and they're going to take their jobs with them. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to be heard on this application? Seeing none, any further
Chair, can I just introduce Chris Goff? Chris is our project lead on these types of projects, so she led all the work on Givaudan. I'd like to recognize her.
Thank you.
At this point in time, we have the consideration of resolution. This was discussed at the last meeting, the authority for plan performance and Highlands project review to remain with staff as opposed to the council. I'd like to push this off one more meeting. I hope that the schedule at our next meeting, only a couple of applicants, correct respondents, that is the
Absolutely. We may be bringing none to you if you want to devote it to, but unless it's kind of an urgent.
Correct. An issue.
Correct.
And at that meeting, we would like to start, I think we're kind of starting a little earlier before Act a general discussion and policy within the plan, within the Act, or really within the regional master plan, and start a discussion that will hopefully bring something to life. So hopefully, granted, you know, pretty much in this council, except for two, and Carl's been here a year and a half. So, but if you guys have some ideas of what you would like to discuss at that meeting, please reach out to myself or Eileen. I have a few items that I would like to discuss. I think Eileen probably has a list in her head of some things that we can pass off her. So if there's anything specifically for you to say.
Do you have a date on the meeting?
Yes.
September 15th, 4 p.m. That is on your public schedule. 4 p.m.
At this point in time, I'd like to move on to the public portion. Anybody in the public wish to be heard on any issue, please raise your hand.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for letting me speak here today. My name is Hank Clark. I own 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation Area. My family's been farming in Tewksbury, Hunterdon County, since 1952. Because of the Highland Bill and preservation, my family is being faced with a situation that will change our lives forever. The farm was originally my father's, and now it is mine. It was to be my son's and grandson's in the future. However, our land investments are being seriously jeopardized by this legislation. I can only hope that some compromise will be made when I inherited the farm. The land was appraised at actual real estate and taxed accordingly. Now, what happens when my son inherits the same piece of property? Are they going to inherit land in the Highlands Preservation Area that has no value? Land with no equity? How will the land be appraised? Is it still worth the spend? Picture this. Same 150-acre farm. Grandpa, father, son, grandson. All farming year after year. How can generations of investments be taken away? Once land is in the Highlands Preservation Area with ridiculous restrictions, it's basically worthless. It has no equity. Ask any banker. The Highlands Act has changed everything. Hunterdon farmers can't be punished for the problems of the rest of the state. Trenton can't afford to buy my land for the real amount it is worth. So they are taking it through regulation and by forcing it into the preservation. I have been asking for over 7 years now to see a scientific study that put my farm in the preservation area. There is no scientific study. How are the boundaries decided? My property is in the preservation, but the property down the road is not. Please tell me how the lines were drawn. Farmers need help to continue farming practices and also safeguard their investment. We are being forced to pay such a huge price. How unfair it is to have a business and investment stolen by legislators who do not understand farming business and have nothing to lose themselves. Legislators tell us to speak to you.
Just reach it for Dan Mark. Near the end, I'll let you continue, otherwise they could have those attached to the minutes for the record.
I have a couple grandsons here. Will you give me a 3 minutes? Okay.
I'll change the rule for the next meeting.
Okay. It's fair. It's just our land that's been taken. So, let me go back here because it's a good point. Legislators tell us to speak to you. But without proper funding in place, you have to go back to the legislators and express the fact that without funding to be able to compensate people for their losses, rights should be given back because the Highlands Act was not supposed to hurt anyone. When the $400 million bond issue was passed by the voters, not one penny was dedicated to the Highlands. The Highlands Act was so poorly written that many pages of amendments have been added. And even though it still isn't right, legislators are willing to make life-altering changes in the farmer's future. Year after year, I've stood before the Highlands Council and asked questions, but have received no answers. This council has been like a revolving door. Through the years, many of the people who drew up, signed, and backed the Highlands Act are now long gone. They have moved on and are not looking back at those of us who have been left with the terrible consequences of the disaster it has brought to the people paying the price.
I've been called one of a half a dozen persistent regulars. It's the people with everything to lose that attend these meetings. The general public in the Highlands is unaware of all the regulations. Even they will be facing and most never even heard about the Highlands Act. Save the Water is such a cover-up for the biggest land grab ever. Evaluating land by as much as 90% makes the Highlands Act a legal theft. When the Highlands Act was passed, there was no funding in place to compensate landowners, and now, over 7 years later, there is still no funding. The state has no money. So we should be given all our rights back so we can once again have our equity. Thank you for letting me speak, and I think what you should do, and this is my, as you can tell, I've been here many times, and you people have to have the conscience to go back to the legislators and say, hey, these people are due something. We got to be paid. I mean, you don't have to give it all in one sum, but by golly, they got to come up with some money. 7 years is too long to wait for anybody. I mean, I could be dead next year, next month. I mean, I've got 9 grandkids, love to farm, but we can't farm it because we can't get the equity. And if you know anybody's in business here, without equity, you're out of business. It's a simple thing. Okay. So, thank you very much for letting me speak, and thanks for my extra couple minutes. I really appreciate it. Well, thank you. Hope you don't.
Excellent. I gave you nearly away last week.
Before I begin my own 3 minutes on behalf of Mr. Danielson, who was just called off for jail, I'd like to attach this letter, which I think he intended to read to you, written by his wife, Alice Show, for the minute, as well as the Highlands Coalition Action Alert, which I think might explain why we have a veritable Highlands militia here today. Next. Starting my own at Deborah Post, I own property in Chester Township. At the June 16th meeting, I addressed the specific issue of the TDR pricing tragedy. It is an unconscionable to offer hardship cases less than a quarter on the appraised dollar of their property value losses. Today, I will address the specific issue of the deed restrictions associated with the TDR. All four deed restriction documents referred to as deeds of easement are lengthy, onerous, and overreaching, requiring the landowner to sign away their privacy and other use rights for which they are not being paid. Nowhere in the appraisal or pricing process is the value of lost privacy or other lost property uses beyond the simple development right included in the valuation. The deeds of easement, as with any contract, may require no more than that for which is being paid in the contract. I encourage the new chair to visit the subject of deeds of easement with today's New Jersey DEP. This council's deeds of easement hark back to the old DEP of the Lisa Jackson era, when strangulation of all land ownership was the open goal. Today's New Jersey DEP has a much shortened and more reasonable deed of easement in less than 2 pages. This council needs to get with the new policy. The deeds of easement permit access by government without stating reasonable cause, allowing bureaucrats to snoop in the backyard at will, a de facto waiver of the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. In our world of Google Earth and IMAP, there is absolutely no need to demand property inspection without reasonable cause, as in any attempt to build a structure would be known via satellite viewing. Compensation for a property taking must not require the abdication of the personal privacy of our home. The conservation deed of easement with bonus states all uses of the property are prohibited except specify existing use in non-impervious trails. All uses are prohibited? Highland property values were reduced by 80% to 90% by the passage of the Highlands Act. A deed restriction that prohibits all uses of the bundle of property rights will render Highlands property completely worthless, and the aftermarket value for land that, by definition, cannot be used, but that will still have maintenance needs and costs, will be less than zero. The conservation deed of easement without bonus appears to allow other property uses, but then craftily refers to those uses permissible under the Highlands Regional Master Plan, an impermanent document subject to political rigging. The signer of this deed of easement has no idea what uses of the land will be permissible under tomorrow's Regional Master Plan. This language is a trick, and a dirty one at that. Another deed of easement puts the Highlands Council in charge of locating a Highlands exemption on the property. A recipe for that exemption to de facto vaporize, along with the landowner's other development rights. Another dirty trick in the making. The Act gives the DEP sole authority in connection with preservation area exemptions. This council need not get involved. The Highlands Council has never formally adopted its deeds of easement, posted on the council's website headed with a final in the red lettering of the draft. In the past, Mr. Borden has stated on the record here that the deeds of easement are negotiable, a sad chortle in context, as hardship cases begging for pittance are unlikely tough contract negotiators. This council needs to weigh in on whether or not they endorse the overreaching deeds of easement being thrust down the throats of the financially distressed by this council staff. Okay, fine. Yeah, I did pass something around, which is what this deed of easement should look like. Simple, two sentences to confirm the
Highlands. Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Good evening. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. My name is Kathleen Heron. I am a 17-year resident of the preservation area in West Milford, and I work for the State County Planning Department very closely with the Highlands staff. The State County Plan Conformance was approved in December of last year. We are holding our public hearing on our site plan and subdivision ordinance, as well as our Highlands element, the ERI, the Environmental Resource Inventory, and the county development regulations of the county land. I just want to say that it's been a pleasure to work with the staff here. They've been very helpful, very responsive. Judy Gordon is our main contact. The county has always been very supportive of protecting water, even before the Highlands came along. Back in the late 80s, we actually bought property with the state of New Jersey in New York State to protect the Montague and the Navajo watershed. I happen to be in a place that I think is pretty much completely filled out. Mr. Richfield may agree with me. I think they filled out. There really hasn't been a lot of development in West Milford, because there really is no place up to based on groundwater efficiencies, based on the slope, there's a lot of protected land. I don't know about some of the other things that I've heard here tonight, but I think the main thing that we need to keep in mind is that water is going to be like the oil of the 21st century. I've heard that, you know, clean water is pretty scarce around the world. I think the fact that there were so many petitions here tonight from municipalities in the planning area that want to opt in, speaks to the reasonableness of the regional master plan and the opportunities that are there. New Jersey has been on the cutting edge throughout history. When you think about electricity, you think about movies, and I think, you know, what we're doing here and in terms of our farmland preservation program, you know, we're the model. And I want to thank you all for your work here, for the fact that you're here, for your support of protecting the water while at the same time allowing for reasonable development and economic development. And I think, you know, we're all here together in this state. We need to watch out for each other. Like the gentleman spoke earlier about, you know, the forts and about the people who live in the shadow of the parkway because they flood that infrastructure. I think we need to recognize the greater good. And it's unfortunate that some people feel as though they've been damaged by it. And I think that there are remedies as far as funding goes. I mean, in the act it talks about, this is very close to my heart, most of what I do, State County has an open space trust fund, 10-year anniversary, Green Acres, the farmer, that whole Garden State Preservation Trust. I mean, the gentleman stood up here and said there was no money for the Highlands, but that's really not accurate because we are protecting property in the Highlands Preservation Area using our county tax, open space tax, the municipal open space trust funds, and the Green Acres. So there is money. And I think, thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to hear? Yes, I
am. My name is David Chope, and for those who feel that those who are living in the shadow of the parkway or next to the train station are making a sacrifice, they should calculate the per acre value of that land versus the per acre value of my land. You'll see who's making the sacrifice then. And as far as handing out money, you recently approved Holland Township's acquiescence to the Highland Master Plan. And in the newspaper article, they speak about their budget, and the overall budget increased about $189,700 from and that gets the numbers. But $100,000 of this increment was a grant from the Highlands Council. So they're using, apparently, Highlands Council money to help balance their budget. And I have their budget here. It's a line item on the budget with no billing against it. Well, now it's going into the hopper and it's going to be used to balance their budget. I hope you get a thank you card.
I'm unaware of what you're talking about.
I beg your pardon?
I'm unaware of what you're talking about.
Well, Holland Township was one of those that you... I'll leave you the copy of the newspaper article. But if you want, I'll leave you a copy of the budget.
No.
Okay.
May I have a copy of the budget?
Yes, absolutely. You betcha. I'll give it to you later. And Elliot Ruga, a paid environmentalist, I might add, spoke about the Highlands Task Force report, where you don't keep the water just sweet and lovely up here. It's going to cost $50 billion in cleanup costs. Warren County commissioned from Holzhauer and Hohenstein a report concerning the devaluation of land in the Highlands Preservation Area. The number they came up with is $15 billion lost landowner equity. And you multiply that by lost development potential. Well, let's stick with the $15 billion. If the state could spend $15 billion to save $50 billion, why wouldn't they? The answer is, they don't have to. They can simply steal it. So I'll leave you that report as well. I've also made a bunch of copies concerning the resolution that you're going to take up next meeting, Highlands Project Review, where I've inserted some language in the second whereas
and the language comes directly from a Senator Smith quote.
What is the resolution?
This Highlands Project Review, the one that you're putting off till next meeting.
Okay.
So I made you a bunch of copies so you can hopefully do your homework early, and I won't be presenting it to you at the last minute. And basically, it just substitutes in the second whereas, it adds on to an existing sentence, Senator Smith's language, where he says, at a meeting in Ringwood, the first public meeting on the Highlands Act, if there's one lesson tonight, it was the voice in the background from Tom Cruise, show me the money. Laughter. And Chairman McKeon and I pledge to you that we will show you the money. We're currently working with the governor's office to put together a dedicated and guaranteed source of funding so that the Highlands, which is making a sacrifice for the rest of the state, is properly compensated. We will show you the money. This would be good language to add to the second whereas of this resolution. And he said this in March of 2004. So where's the money? Thank you very much.
Anybody else from the public wish to be heard? Any issues? Seeing none. Closing the public portion. Any need for an executive session? Motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.